Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kirk Franklin, Ty Trebet, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few, and he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
Recording started.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome each and every one of you. We welcome you all, ye saints, our conference line family and friends. We thank and praise God that you come to join us tonight as the word of the Lord comes alive. We invite you to get your Bibles and your pen and your paper. Get your questions ready to ask the men and women of God. Hallelujah. Concerning matters that you have upon your heart, whether they be natural or spiritual, that God will endow you with wisdom and knowledge and understanding through the anointed vessels of God. So tweet, text, call, in any form of social media that you have, and invite others to join in tonight as the word of the Lord comes alive. We bless God for you, and we ask that you enjoy the service on tonight. Be blessed.
Good evening. The scripture will come from Psalms 136, beginning at the first verse, ending at the fifth verse. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearers of the word. Psalms 136, verses 1 through 5. God bless you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made, and we did rejoice and was glad in it. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. If it had not been for him, where would we be this day? And we just say thank you. He woke us up this morning, clothed in our right mind, and mind know who we are and who we belong to. We belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we just say thank you for being our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And we say thank you for meeting our daily needs on today. We say thank you. Oh, we come to bless his name tonight. We come to lift him up tonight. We come to magnify his name tonight. Because he said if he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. So we come to praise him for his drawing power, his wonder-working power, moving in this hour. May he be continually glorified. And we just say thank you. Oh, we come to bless his name tonight. We come to thank him for peace. Because he say, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world give it to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither be afraid. We thank him for peace tonight. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We can have peace in the midst of our storms. And we say thank you. Oh, we come to bless his name tonight. We lift up all our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren up to him tonight. And ask him to have his way in their lives. Place the right people in their path that will encourage them and build them up in him. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, we come to bless his name tonight. We plead the blood, the healing blood over this line tonight to drive out every spirit that's not of the Holy Spirit and to welcome the Holy Spirit with a humble heart and stretched out arms. Have your way. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We come to thank him for the visionary of this line. As he continues to pour out to God's people, he's pouring back into him. And we say thank you. We plead the blood of Jesus over every nursing home, every hospital right now, every sick and shut-in right now. We plead the blood, the healing blood, the delivering blood. that will set them free. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We thank him for baby Emmanuel being strengthened. We thank him for doing a new thing for baby Michael. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, we come to bless his name tonight. We come to plead the blood over our neighborhood to drive out every murdering spirit in our neighborhood, in the nation, in the cities, in the states right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, we thank him for his word in Isaiah say, there should be no more violence in our land, and our walls should be salvation, and our gates should be praise. We're going to praise him for that manifestation. We're going to praise him for that manifestation. We're going to hallelujah to the Lamb of God for that manifestation coming forth in the mighty name of Jesus, and we say thank you, and we lift up all the bereaved families all over the land tonight, God. We thank you for being their comforter. We thank you for walking with them, Lord God, because your word say you never leave us nor forsake us, God. Your word say you reign on the just and the unjust, God. So we thank you for reigning in every city and every state right now on bereaved families. Have your way, Lord God. Your will be done, Lord God. We speak to oppression and depression and rejection. We send it to the dry place right now in the name of Jesus, and loosen the Holy Spirit to rule and reign. We plead the blood of Jesus over depression right now, over the mind gate right now in the name of Jesus. We send it to the dry place right now in the name of Jesus, and loosen the Holy Spirit to rule and reign over them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. So we just say thank you for being our Father. Thank you for loving us, God. We lift up all the firefighters and their families to you tonight, God. Cover and protect and keep them, Lord God. The ambulance drivers and their families, keep them, Lord God. From seen and unseen danger, from seen and unseen sickness, Lord God. Have your way in their lives, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we decree and declare your promises right now. You say, when we decree and declare things, it is established. So we say thank you. And as we sleep and slumber tonight, you're sustaining us and keeping us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Father. We bless you, we bless you, we bless you, and we praise you, God, on this day, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, that you have made, Father God, and we have rejoiced and we're glad in it, Father God. And we just thank you, God, glory, hallelujah, for how you covered us and kept us. Oh, God, for how you woke us up on this morning, and we were clothed in our right minds with the activity of our limbs. Father God, glory, hallelujah. We just want to praise you on today, Father God. We want to glorify you on today, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah, because you've been so good to us, Father God. Glory to your name, Father God. And we thank you, God, even for another, oh, God, third Monday, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, where we can come together, gather together and hear the word, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, to learn of you, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. To bring our questions, oh, God. Glory, hallelujah. And receive answers, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, from you, Father God. And we thank you, God, and we praise you, God. Glory, hallelujah, and we just want to thank you, God. Glory, hallelujah, that the word will fall on good ground on tonight, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, that all that come on the line tonight will not go off the same way they came on, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. We thank you, God, tonight, oh, God, for healing, Father God, for delivering, Father God, for setting free tonight, God. Glory, hallelujah. We thank you for the chains being broken, oh, God, the shackles, oh, God, falling off, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. And, Father God, we just want to glorify you, God. Glory, hallelujah, for, oh, God, hallelujah, touching the minds of your people tonight, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah. We speak faith over fear tonight, Father God. We binding up, Father God, those mind-binding spirits tonight, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, that would put us in confusion, Father God, that would give us migraines and put us in mental pain and mental anguish, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, we just thank you, God, for transforming the mind on tonight, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, for causing our minds, oh, God, to experience a divine mind transfer, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, and allowing our minds to take on the mindset of Christ Jesus. Oh, God, glory, hallelujah. And we just want to praise you, and we want to bless you, God. Glory, hallelujah. And, Father God, hallelujah, we speak, oh, God, tonight, oh, God, glory, hallelujah, that you would, oh, God, save those that are lost, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, that you would Bring back the backsliders, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Those prodigal sons and daughters, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Their salvation will be their portion, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. We pray, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. The salvation for our lost family members, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. For our children, Father God. For all of your children, Father God. Everybody you created all over the world, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. And Father God, we loose your love tonight, Father God, and we cancel the hate, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. We loose your joy tonight, Father God, and we cancel sadness, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, and we just thank you, God. Glory, hallelujah, for faith over fear, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. And, Father God, just help us, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, to keep standing, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Keep on believing you, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. And pressing towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, oh, God. And we just bless you for each and every person on the line tonight. Father God, each and every person under the sound of my voice, oh, God, move by your spirit in their lives, Father God. For you know what they have need of, Father God, and when they need it by, Father God, so do it for them, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Help your people everywhere, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. And we pray, oh, God, glory, hallelujah, for our overseer, Dr. Leron Matthews, in tonight. Strengthen him, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Take him higher and deeper in your word, Father God. Use him for your glory, Father God. Glory to your name, Father God. Minister to his heart and his mind, Father God. Cover him and his family, his children, his parents, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, the grandchildren and siblings, Father God. Each and every ministry, oh, God, partner, Father God, each and every ministry, oh, God, leader that's connected to this line, Father God, cover them as well in their families and their ministries, Father God. And we just want to thank you, God, for what you're doing right now, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. And, Father God, we bind up, oh, God, glory, hallelujah, interference on this line, Father God, distractions, Father God. We bind it up right now in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. We cut off, Father God, the lion, listen, Lucifer tonight, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. We cast this silky tongue into the fire right now in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. Oh, God, we cancel, Father God, every assignment, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, that we shall send, Father God. Glory, hallelujah, against your people, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, God. And we thank you for your word that says the gates of hell shall not prevail against your people, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. We thank you for your word that says suffer not the witch to live, Father God. So we cancel every trick and trap employed and plot of the enemy, every bit of witchcraft tonight, Father God. The white magic, the black magic, the hoodoo and voodoo, the hexes and vexes, and their taboos, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. The hocus pocus, oh, God, the Santeria, the obia, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. We cancel every spell, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. We cancel, Father God. Glory, hallelujah. Every single curse, Father God. And we thank you, God. Glory, hallelujah, for covering us, your people. And we just want to bless you. We just want to praise you. And we love you in Jesus' mighty name. We pray, amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah. We thank and praise your name, oh God. Hallelujah for all the prayers that have gone up on this evening. And Father, we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, as we come boldly before your throne, we thank you for the men and women of God everywhere, Lord, those that sit on the wall and will not come down, those that intercede on the behalf of the people, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, because we know that you are collecting all the prayers of all the saints, Lord. And hallelujah, when you return, you will come back with the vows of all the prayers of the saints. Lord, you said so in the book of Revelation. We thank you and praise your name, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord, that every prayer that is uttered out of our mouths, oh God, hallelujah, on the behalf of the people. We know that you're working behind the scenes, oh God. We may not know when, where, or how, oh God, that it's going to be done. But we know that, hallelujah, Lord, you are all powerful and you're all knowing and that you're moving even when we don't think that you're moving. Father God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus, as you touch the young, the middle-aged, and senior alike, Lord God, let us be steadfast, oh God, in learning about you, learning, oh God, hallelujah, Lord, how to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily could beset us, oh God. Let us, oh God, hallelujah, cross and follow after you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, living a holy and clean life, oh God. And we thank and praise your name, Lord. No one is too young and no one is too old, Lord God, to live for you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you right now for the shedding of your blood on Calvary's cross. And Father God, because of your blood that you shed it, oh God, you said with your stripes we are healed, oh God. If we only would believe, hallelujah, take you at your word, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We would not have to suffer through the things that goes on in our bodies, Lord. But we can just speak a word, oh God, hallelujah, over our lives, Lord. And so shall it happen, oh God, because your word will line up, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord. and with the things that we decree and declare, Lord. Hallelujah. And these begin to perform, oh God. Because when you spoke, you said, let there be, hallelujah. Everything they heard, Lord God, hallelujah, in the atmosphere, Lord God, in the earth below, Lord. Hallelujah. It came into alignment with you. The stars stayed in this place. The moon and the sun, oh God, begin to shine, oh God. The waters and the firmaments begin to divide from each other, oh God. And we thank you, praise God. Hallelujah, Lord. Even the grass stayed in its own place, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. The rivers and the streams begin to get in alignment, oh God. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that we will come in alignment, oh God, with your word, line upon line, precept upon precept, oh God. We will hide the word in our heart that we will not sin against thee, oh God. I thank and I praise your name, hallelujah, Lord, that you will help us, oh God, hallelujah, to come overcome, oh God, those little things that are so easily to beset us, oh God. But God, hallelujah, Lord, we will trade it continuously, Lord God, our torn and tattered garments, Lord, in exchange for a robe of pure white, oh God. I thank and I praise your name that we have something grateful and powerful to look forward to, Lord. And Lord God, as you begin, Lord God, to continue to work on us, oh God, hallelujah, Lord. Send us a clean heart, renew a right spirit within us, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord. And we thank and praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, that you, oh God, will do above and exceeding it all that we can ask or think. I thank you right now for every creed, nation, and tongue, oh God, that has come to tonight, Lord, to hear a word from you, Lord. I ask that you open up to the people, oh God, and pour down, oh God, your anointing that will destroy every yoke, oh God, that's so easy to beset us, Lord. And we give you all glory, honor, and praise. I bless our visionary, oh God, and all the people, men and women of God in their respective places, oh God. Hallelujah, no matter who they are, where they are, Lord God, that you continue to hold them up, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord. Let them know that you are special to them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And there is no other, oh God, like them. Oh God, I bless you right now in the mighty, magnificent, wonderful name of Jesus. Let us walk in the grace and authority that you have poured upon us, Lord. Let us, oh God, perform, hallelujah, Lord, the things according to the gifts that you have given us, Lord. Not take it on something else that we should not, but, oh God, stay in your blood line with your perfect will. We glorify you and we magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Prophet Laron Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries would like to thank you for your prayers and support. Prophet Matthews invites you to become a monthly partner to help reach souls of the nations all around the world. As a monthly partner with Prophet Laron Matthews and Restoration Foundation, Prophetic International Ministries, you will be a vital part of the powerful end-time army that God is raising up to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to the nations of this world. To help accomplish our God-ordained vision, you can sow your seed at www.WeRestoreYou.org. That's WeRestoreU.org. Or call 708-377-6774. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries is a 501c3 tax-exempt ministry. God bless you.
Join Prophet Laron Matthews every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. and on Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. for Facebook Live. Also, you can join Prophet throughout the week with Drive By with the Prophet for a powerful prophetic word from the Lord. You can go to Laron Matthews on Facebook and Laron Matthews Ministries and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Inc. on Facebook Live. We look forward to seeing you on Facebook Live with Dr. Prophet Laron Matthews.
Times are subject to change depending upon the availability of Dr. Prophet Laron Matthews.
The new book is coming soon. The latest from Dr. Prophet Laron Matthews.
The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her.
The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her.
The new book is coming soon. Written by Dr. Laron Matthews, Ph.D.
Get ready to have your spirit lifted and your soul rejuvenated.
The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her. By Dr. Laron Matthews, Ph.D. Stay tuned for the book release date and information on how to purchase your copy. Coming soon.
Coming soon. Thank you. I would come to life. I say that to the Lord.
Dr. Matthew, you're not coming in clear, sir.
Not coming in clear, Minnesota. Is that better, Administrator Bryant?
Yes, sir. If you're on that microphone, that microphone is not working well.
I bless you on today. I welcome you today to another prophetic experience teaching time where the word of the Lord comes alive. Please forgive me for the technical difficulties. Can you all hear me quite well?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes,
thank you, Administrator Bryant. Thank you so much. God bless everyone for joining us on this day. We honor the Lord for each and everyone that's joining us and connected with us on this day. So we give God praise, glory, and honor for you all on this day. And I want to take this time to thank the intercessors that came forth and prayed. We give God praise, glory, and honor for each and every one of you. And certainly, as I always say, we don't take it lightly, your gift to the kingdom of God and who you are to the movement and to the strength of the kingdom of God. And certainly, I thank you all for your faithfulness, your commitment, your dedication to be preaching, teaching, sharing, and imparting, whether through word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of encouragement, through prophecy. We thank you all so much for all that you do and all that you give to the kingdom of God. I want to take this time to welcome our sister nations that are involved in listening in, those that are in Sierra Leone, those who are in West Africa, Cameroon, those that are joining us from Paris, France, Pastor David, Paul, Elijah, and the other kingdom leaders that are in this particular region. We thank God for you all there. Those that are joining us from the Ivory Coast, we bless you all as well, too. Be with us as well. Thank you for my sister down in New Zealand for joining us. New Zealand is in the house. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for the new daughter that's joining us from over in the Caribbean Islands. We bless the Lord for you all as well on today. Thank you for connecting with us and being part of our conference line on this day. So we bless the Lord for you all taking time out of your schedule to be part of it. I want to real quickly talk about the vision of the prophetic conference line that was birthed out of the book of Habakkuk chapter number 2, verses 1 through 4. Real quickly, those that are joining us now and you're connected, you can go on Administrator Bryant's Facebook page and you can paste and cut or take it and share that we're live most of the time over the last several weeks, we have to continue to remind those that we are on first and third Monday night. So therefore, some people miss it, and then when they see it, they inbox us and say that they didn't get it. So if you would be so kind, you can go on my page and hit share and share it on your page. Send it through Messenger so other people can follow and they can be privileged to the word of God that's going to be shared tonight as well. All right. So we don't want no one to be left out of being able to receive the word of God. It's on Minnesota Brian page as well as mine and well as those who are listening in as well from other parts of the land and the world. So you can do that real quickly. I greatly appreciate it. I thank you so much for those who are partnering with us. As we're partnering with the Spirit of the Lord God, we thank God for you as well, too. Amen. And so, Brian, you do real quickly take us to a commercial and then bring us right back. I greatly appreciate it. Woman of God.
Join Prophet Laron Matthews every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. and on Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. for Facebook Live. Also, you can join Prophet throughout the week with Drive By with the Prophet for a powerful prophetic word from the Lord. You can go to Laron Matthews on Facebook and Laron Matthews Ministries and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Inc. on Facebook Live. We look forward to seeing you on Facebook Live with Dr. Prophet Laron Matthews.
Times are subject to change depending upon the availability of Dr. Prophet Laron Matthews.
The new book is coming soon. The latest from Dr. Prophet Laron Matthews.
The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her.
The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her.
The new book is coming soon. Written by Dr. Laron Matthews, PhD.
Get ready to have your spirit lifted and your soul rejuvenated.
The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her. By Dr. Laron Matthews, PhD.
Stay tuned for the book release date and information on how to purchase your copy.
Coming soon.
Coming soon.
Amen. Once again, God bless each and every one of you all. We thank God for you all joining us on today. And certainly, the book, The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her, we're in the final stages of it. So we thank God for the book. And it will be just before its release. You have opportunity to purchase it on Amazon as well. And have the opportunity to purchase it there, and you can purchase it from the website as well. Alrighty, excuse me. And also, those of you who have not had opportunity to purchase the book, another the unfinished chapter, you certainly have opportunity to do that as well, because there's going to be a sequel in 20 and the latter part of 2022. Of Love, the Unfinished Chapter, the sequel of it. So we're going to implement these other books, and then we're going to go back to that one. Since many people were interested in seeing, hearing the part of Love, the Unfinished Chapter. Amen. So we bless the Lord tonight for, once again, you all connecting with us from different parts of the United States and the world. Once again, I don't take it lightly, the great kingdom leaders and ministry gift that we have, working diligently for the ministry in the kingdom of God to advance and the kingdom of God, and doing it with such heart and love and no agenda, but strictly loving God and loving what they do for God and loving what they do for the kingdom of God. And we certainly don't take it lightly who you are, what you are to the kingdom of God. And I want to thank you all who have been blessed by the teaching and the word of God that have been shared through different types of media. So I bless the Lord for you all today. I'm going to take this time to talk about the vision of the Prophetic Conference Live that was birthed out of the book of Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse number 1. Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse number 1. He said, I will stand upon my watch and I will set me upon the tower. And I will wait to see what the Lord would say unto me when I am reproved. That word actually in the Hebrew, because the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, Arabic. It means when I am made ready. And he says, write the vision, second verse, and make it plain upon table that they may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for time, but the end it shall speak in my life, but tarry wait for it, for it is surely come to pass. His soul, which is not upright in him, is not upright, but the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And we bless the Lord for that on today. Thank you for those who took it and shared it. I appreciate it for you participating as well. Thank you so much for your support. All right, tonight we're going to, tonight is open forum. Open forum, we're going to be taking questions and comments for those of you who are listening in. Once again, I know ministry is not an easy position and job for us, and I say that for this fact. It's not easy position or place, but because when you do open forum and taking questions and comments, always inbox us on a messenger or other medium through our website asking questions. And so they ask us these questions, so we try to give them an answer to it based upon what they ask us. So that's why we establish open forum to take questions and comments and be able to address the needs and the concerns of the people who have them. And we have the opportunity to ask those questions or make a comment, and we'll do our best to try to respond to them by giving you an answer, but biblically based with the authenticity of the Word of God behind it. We bless the Lord for you tonight. Tonight, our open forum will be consisting of two new leaders. They've been with us for a while, but they're going to be on the panel tonight. Tonight's panel will be consisted of Apostle Molly Simmons of Hampton, Virginia, Newport News. He's a senior kingdom leader there of Restoration and Truth Ministry there. We welcome him tonight. God bless you, Apostle Murray Simmons.
God bless you, Prophet.
God bless you, sir. And next we have evangelist Dr. Carlina Wilkes from Indianapolis, Indiana, joining us, and great kingdom leader as well. And she's the 5 a.m. coordinator of the conference line. God bless you tonight, evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
And all the people of God.
And the newest, the other two new people that are joining us tonight is my new elder of Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministry. He teaches on fourth Tuesday, Elder Samuel Hunter. He's a senior elder of our ministry of restoration, and we welcome him. He's been with us since May of June 2021, and we thank God for him and his duty and responsibility as a senior elder doing ministry for a number of years now, so we thank God for him. God bless you tonight, Elder.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. And finally, she's probably not new to many of you, but new to some of you all. She's a great kingdom leader. She's a prophetess elect. She will be ordained as prophetess this coming year through the church organization to the office of the prophetess. And she has her own business from San Antonio, Texas. We welcome her tonight on our panel, prophetess elect Tina Rice. God bless you on tonight, prophetess. Are you there, woman of God? This is Star 6 to let us know that you're there with us.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need our lines.
I'm sorry. I thought I unmuted. Bless you, Prophet, and all that is on the panel. It's such an honor, and all of you listening. God bless you all.
All right. Bless you, too. Thank you all for joining us. I am the moderator tonight, so we're going to take your questions and your comments. And if for some reason we can't give you an answer, we will certainly do the research. And in our next live, we will try to give you an answer to that as best we can based upon the question and the comment. We're trying now to shift a little bit and allow others an opportunity to share their gift and to share their talent with many of the other great kingdom leaders that are here in a time where ministry gifts are elevating and God is speaking to us from many, many levels of the dimensional realm and revealing to us great things and the secrets of the kingdom of God. And certainly, as a kingdom leader and an apostolic voice to the nation, I believe it's time to receive mantles that are coming and enhance those that are kingdom leaders to the next level, the next generation, whether you're a millennial, whether you're generation, a baby boomer, generation X, a generation to come. I can't remember all of them. I don't have the list anymore of all the generations that we have on here. But certainly there are many different background cultures and generations and ministries that are connected to us from around the world. So our ministry is not just local, it's a worldwide ministry, and we have leaders from all over that are connected that are listening in. So we bless them on tonight as well. So we give God praise, glory, and honor for you for joining us. And we don't take it lightly who you are as a man and woman of God in the ministry. I believe that this is a critical time for ministry where, as I mentioned yesterday, the counterfeits are rising. The counterfeits are rising like never before in this season. They're rising. Not that they were not here, but they're taking precedence in the earth realm, especially as it relates to where the scripture said if Satan could or would fool, he would try to fool the very elect. So we have so many people that are dealing with intimidation, not only naturally, spiritually, but naturally now. They're being intimidated by gifts in the kingdom of God. And they're being intimidated in the spirit based upon the sin nature. Sin nature means that because of the carnal state, the enemy plays on what you had done, what you have done, not where you are now, what you have done. So many people choose to stay back or continue to have a drawback spirit because the enemy plays on your sin nature. Then you must conquer the sin nature. People said, you're trying to fight it, you'll never win. You fight the good fight of faith, frequency. But sin, you have to conquer it. So many people are drawing back because of that. It's time to come forth, season, because your sound is needed in the earth realm. This is one of those pivotal dispensations where everyone has a mega ministry, but everyone did not have a mega sound. Sound is the most powerful tool since the pandemic has came into the earth, man. It moved to people being untouchable, but your sound being the frequency of the touchable. So in saying that, we made some changes in terms of where, in terms of leading shift, not leadership, leadership, the shifting that's been going on. So we thank God for those great kingdom leaders that are joining us and then those who have been with us because of their seasoning and their experience, and not that the new one that's not seasoned, we honor them, but for their faithfulness and dedication to ministry and to doing the work of the ministry in the kingdom of God. So we bless the Lord for each and every one of you all as well on tonight. Administrator Brian, we're going to take the question. Well, first, let me do this. Those who are listening in, if you have a question or comment for our panel tonight, you have a question or comment for our panel tonight, and you're listening in right now, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. If you have a question or comment for our panel, and we're going to give you the opportunity to do that. We want to give you an opportunity to do that as well. For those people who cannot, whatever reason, your phone service, you can get the 218 and it charges you. You can dial the 319 number. Somebody can put that on their Facebook page because people are inboxing me right now for the 319 number, 319-527-6188. You can dial in that number right now. You dial in that number right now and listen in. And that's the Blog Talk. That's the Blog Talk Radio. All right. So let's move right into anyone that have a question and comment for Administrator Brian. Hold up just a quick second. But anyone that's on the conference line right now, if you have a question or comment for us, hit star 6 right now and come in with your question. At this time, you can come in with your question. We'll hold up on a comment, but you can come in with your question right now. If you have a question for us right now, you can come in. So hit star 6 and come in at this time. We won't tarry long, so if you have a question for us that you'd like to ask us. Okay. All right. All right, we bless the Lord. All right. I'm doing something quite unique. The panel that I have tonight. Now, if somebody from my panel, if you guys have something you would like to say right now, the panel, I'm going to give you all the opportunity to come in. So if any of you from the panel would like to say something, come in. I'll give you 2 minutes to say something, and then we're going to take the question from Administrator Rita Bryant. So the panel, which consisted of Apostle Simmons, Hampton Newport News, Dr. Carlina Wilkes, Indianapolis, Indiana, Elder Samuel Hunter from Illinois, and Prophetess-elect Tina Rice from San Antonio, Texas. If you guys want to come in and say something real quick, you want to say something, come in, we'll give you an opportunity. If not, we're fine. We just want to give you guys an opportunity to say something quickly. Okay. Well, bless the Lord for you all. All right, Administrator Brian, do we have any questions tonight for the panel? Administrator Rita Bryant tonight. Do you have any questions from panel?
Yes.
And I think there's a number that they can call to Administrator Brian if they want to text a question. They can text the question to.
Area code.
You give that number, Administrator Brian.
Area code 334-440-6152. 334-440-6152.
All right. Thank you, Administrator Brian. All right, we're gonna take your we're gonna take the first question, Administrator Rita Brian.
Yes, sir. The first question is, can a person who continually struggle with impure thoughts be genuinely saved?
In a person that continually struggles with impure thoughts, he'll be saved, or don't you say it?
Be genuinely saved.
Be genuinely saved. All right. All right. Panel, do you want to deal with that? Anyone want to deal with that question there?
Okay.
You can get started in the anyone for the panel. Yeah.
All right. Come on, Dr. Wilson. Come on.
I'm going to say yes. Because I'm leaning on the scripture that said we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us.
Mm-hmm.
Because Yes, even though they may be struggling, because everybody that they, once they get saved, they don't get delivered all the way at times. So some people have to get delivered after they get saved. And I'm going to say yes, they can. They can genuinely be saved. It's just that, you know, they're going to have to learn how to keep their mind stayed on the Lord, how to, you know, to battle with the struggles that's within. And that's my answer. Possibly.
I agree as well. You know, one of the things I believe that we as believers, what we have to come to grips to understand that it takes God to, as Dr. Wood said, for God to deliver us from our thoughts. Because many of us are challenged with so many different things when it comes to our carnal and fleshly ways. And that's why when we become believers in Christ, he transforms us and he brings us into a process of being set apart and sanctified. That is by his word, spending time in prayer, in fellowshipping with the believers, drawing strength from each other, because that's why we have to cast those thoughts down when they come. Because they were, you know, one of the things I would say this, sin is the believer's kryptonite. And if the enemy know he could attack our thought patterns, and he know that he could put us in a place, because the Bible says, so if a man thinketh, so is he. If we're in a struggle, this is what I call a power struggle between the flesh and the spirit. So if we're in that power struggle between the flesh and the spirit, one of my mottos I always use is whatever you feed the most becomes dominant in your life. But can a person be saved with those type of thoughts? Yes, they can. They just have to put their confidence and trust in God and allow God to renew their mind, renew their thoughts, so that they can genuinely be saved. I pray that help that person to ask that question. Yes, I do believe that it can genuinely be saved, because we all have thoughts and we have to cast them down. But it's up to the individual to cast those thoughts down and to allow their mind to be renewed by the word of God. Amen. Yes, sir.
Can I add to what the previous panel members up there? I totally agree. I believe that yeah, they can be genuinely saved, and yes, they have to cast down the thoughts. But what came to mind is, I don't know who asked the question. Are they talking about a new Christian in Christ, or are they speaking of someone who has some years trying to follow Christ? If it's the new question, one, they have to. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
These questions are coming from a group. It's a new group, Bible study, and they emailed these questions this past weekend. So they're new in this.
Okay, yes. They're new. Okay. But what I was going to say is, along with what the other panel members said, they have to have a made-up mind that they're going to serve God. And if they do that, and if they keep their mind stayed on him, he will keep them in perfect peace. I know that the flesh is at enmity with the spirit, that they're battling all the time. So it's true, yes, God's going to have to help them, but they have to have a made-up mind to do it God's way.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Can I chime in?
Yes, ma'am. You all on the panel. Come on.
Being though that the person is new, we tend to not pay attention to what we are taking in when we're new coming in. You have to guard yourself. You got to watch and pay attention to what you're around, what you're hearing, and what you're watching and what you're listening to. Also, coming in new, we haven't gotten rid of a lot of the old ways. So as you're changing, God will remove those things, but you have to have yourself around godly people, godly wisdom, and you have to be in a place that is teaching the Word of God to help you understand the Word of God, so that way those impure thoughts would go away because of what's being put inside. As you remove things, you got to replace it with the Word of God. You just can't remove something and think nothing is going to come in. You got to put the Word of God in you in order for those impure thoughts to go away. But you can be saved, and I believe wholeheartedly you're saved. It's just the process of growing and removing those things also.
Amen. Amen. All right.
And Prophet, even in the, yes, sir. Even in part of this process for the young believers, new converts, or even those that been on this journey for a long time, that's why we as believers have to understand that some things we got to be unlearned from, whether it come from tradition or religion that was taught to us about what church, what salvation is all about. Because this is why we got so many denominations, so many religions in the world. Some will tell you that, you know, you have to dress a certain way to be holy, walk a certain way. We understand we're supposed to walk like Christ and followers of Christ. But to new converts, because everybody on different levels of faith, they definitely have to be taught the authenticity of the truth and the authenticity of God's word, so that they won't fall into lies or what we call folk tales or things that can easily cause people to walk contrary to God's word. So that's why it's important that even believers, they are sitting under the proper teaching that they're getting from the men and women of God that they're sitting under, so that they will not be confused in their salvation walk. Because many people tell you, well, if a person falls down, they mess up, they're not saved. Or if they backslide, they're not saved. You know, and if they do something that's against the will of God, they're not saved. God is the judge of that. Yes, we can judge rightly by, you know, the tree, because we know the Bible said we know the tree by the fruit it bear. But when you continue, like Elder came in and asked the question, is this person, or asking the question, are they new convert or they've been saved for a long time? I believe the process always brings us into a place of maturity in our relationship with God, and that's the renewing of the mind. It has to be renewed every day. So I just want to come back in and add that part about the maturing. When we mature and develop in our walk with God, then we know we are going through our deliverance process. So whatever our weakness, our struggles are, He is the one that can deliver us and set us free from that, but we have to have a willing heart and a willing mind to release it to Him.
Amen. Amen. My take on this is, something Paul said in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses number 12. And Paul was from Tarsus. He was taught in the best of the best schools, very brilliant, 16 different languages. He understood apologetics to the T, that means being able to defend the word of God. Yet he said something very powerful in the scripture in Philippians 3:12. He said, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, That's one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto the things which are before. He goes on to say, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he said in that 15 verse, let us therefore as many be perfect, thus minded. If in anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it unto us. So as he shared that, he's speaking of the warfare of the mind. He is not perfect yet. So Paul had internal conflict, but he did have eternal power. If you ever want eternal power, you have to deal with internal conflict. So I believe that no matter what age you are in salvation, the warfare doesn't change because of how long you've been in a manner. The devil is always after the mind of a person. And we always are thinking and we have thoughts. So can a person be a stronger believer, a greater believer with the thoughts? Yes, you can. Because Jesus said something also in the Word of God. He mentioned this in the Word of God. He said, I believe in one of the Gospels, if a man look upon a woman to sin, he has committed adultery. He didn't say if a man look at a woman, he committed adultery. He said to sin, he has committed adultery in time. So there's a difference when an enemy throw a thought in your mind and you think about it. There's a difference between you looking at a person and you looking at it because you want it. So the enemy plays on two departments of the cerebellum and the cerebellum, the one you look upon because you want it, and you're sitting down there having a cup of coffee, minding your own business, and you're thinking about a booty call that just visits you, that you save and love the Lord. So you have to war with atmospheric spirits, and that doesn't mean that you're sinning because that thought came in your mind. Because principalities are powerful. Ephesians 6 and 10 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but a principality, a power, a ruler of darkness, a spiritual wickedness in high places. So we have to deal with an entity of spirits, and especially as you're growing in the kingdom of growth, demand change. So you're going to deal with different atmospheric spirits. They're going to come against your thought and your mind. The Word of God said that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mightier through God. So when the Spirit comes, it says we have to pull down the stronghold. So that means that we're going to deal with issues in our life, single, married, however you define it, Bible-based, anointed, gifted, speaking in tongues, powerhouses, casting out demon people, a fault that will come against your mind. But we have to be able to cast it down. Cast down the vain imagination. Again, every high thing that will exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And all we're doing is bringing the thought into the obedience of his will. And then we have a readiness to revenge disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. So in all of those visitations, the mind will have to go inside and we will have to win the battle in the mind over the thought that comes to our head, comes to our thoughts or our body. So yes, you can. It's just being able to win the battle in the mind. I don't think we never mentioned an opportunity. It's being saved and then we have these thoughts. Also, once you got saved, you didn't lose your memory. You didn't lose your memory. What you did is you stopped the recording of the sin and you guaranteed eternal life, but you still got to deal with internal conflict. So you're going to still deal with battles that you have. And as you're growing in God and developing in God, some things become more, you become more mature in them. And then some things, life experience in your body makes it too tired for you to do anything. But thanks be to God that the word of God said in Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will perform that work until the day of Jesus Christ. So God is forever performing on us until the day of Jesus Christ. We will deal with conflicts and warfare, especially men and women of God who are gifted, talented, and anointed in your life, and you're growing and developing. That's not going to stop the enemy from coming at you and coming at your thoughts. And certainly I end on this one. The law of attraction is that a sanctified, spirit-filled people have a great anointing on them. The law of attraction says many of them look fine as I don't know what. And you know you look fine. You can't help when somebody is interested in what you're carrying in your department of packaging. So even you feel good about your department of packaging. And sometimes you, your own thoughts, want your package to be designed by the people. But you ain't seeing, but at least you want to be designed. That don't take away your beautification, your signification, your signature, who you are. That just means you are who you are. You just have to have self-control with all of those crazy thoughts that's coming down the pipe into the mind of your head. That's my thought. So I just say be strong in the Lord. Hang on in there. You know, you can run, but you can't hide. You can hide. You're still going to get caught because you ain't running. So either way it goes, trust God. Let the Spirit of the Lord God have his way in you. Just cast it down and hold on to the kingdom of God. Amen. That's just my take, God. I'm just the thoughts I'm out there. Minister of God.
Yes, sir.
Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else on the panel? Anyone else? That's one time. But the panel, great question. All right. I hope that's helping that group of students over there.
Amen.
You said that was because that was students, right?
Yes, sir. They emailed them in the end of the week.
Okay.
End of the week. The next question is poverty the result of sin in my life? If so, is poverty the result of sin in my life? If poverty means there is sin in our lives, why would Paul say this about the churches in Macedonia? They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor.
What's that scripture there, and what is that scripture at? Let's see here. Yeah, come on, panel, you get to answer that. Anyone from the panel can answer that. Sandra, who worked to define that for me? Do you know, do they need a scripture? I'm trying to.
No, sir.
What scripture you want, Prophet?
That one on the one that Paul was speaking of, and the question was asked about poverty.
Poverty means there is sin in our lives. Why would Paul say this about the churches in Macedonia? They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor.
We're going to find that, but anybody from the panel can come.
Well, Prophet, I believe that from the scripture that Paul was addressing them, not only was he talking about them poverty in the physical aspect, but I believe he was talking about poverty from a spiritual aspect as well. And I don't believe that it's sin that creates the poverty.
I believe sometimes it's just the mindset. Go back to the question that the person asked about the being saved and dealing with the struggle of the mind. I believe that's another part of why people sometimes allow poverty, because you don't have to be rich and wealthy from a natural perspective to be rich and wealthy in the spirit, because that's where your greatest blessing is at. I think that's where the enemy deceives so many people, to feel like if I don't have this big mansion, or I don't have a lot of money in the bank, or if I can't do this and I can't do that because I don't have money, then I'm poor. I believe that it's the mindset of the people, because I believe that when you really in that relationship with God, he teaches his principles of how to bring us out of poverty, and that's our mindset. Because you, as the old saying said, you could take someone out of the ghetto or the hood, but you can't take the hood or the ghetto out of them until they want to have their own mindset changed and transformed. That's when you see the change come. That's why you see a lot of people in poverty neighborhoods. That's only because they choose to stay in that mindset. We know that things happen in our culture to our ancestors that change the scope and dynamics of, you know, of our people anyway, when they went into slavery. But as God's children, we don't have to stay there. And I call that the Egypt mentality. We don't have to stay there. But if you go to that scripture, if you found it, but I believe Paul was talking and dealing with more from a spiritual standpoint as he addressed them about the poverty. That's just my perspective on that part.
You're right, Apostle. He was talking about the spiritual aspect. And also, when you're dealing with the seven churches, and that's one of the things that Jesus, when he was giving the revelation to John, he also mentioned about one of the churches that they are poor because of their conduct. And it was dealing with the conduct and how that they were allowing things to take them away from the spiritual aspects of the things they were to be doing in Christ, and to be that example that where that they were at and of course the surroundings around about them, they were all kind of gods and different things that they were worshiping, and instead of them keeping their eyes on the cross and keeping their eyes on the word and staying steadfast in the word, they became poor because they started dibbling back into those things from the former times that they were, and they were letting other things embrace them. And this one thing that the scripture says, evil communication can corrupt good manners. If you stay around that evil communication, either you're going to draw them or they're going to draw you. But the scripture is in 2 Corinthians prophet. Chapter 8. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at another one, but yeah, thanks. Yeah, thank you. Give it to me one more time. Give me that one more time. 2 Corinthians, so everybody can follow us. 2 Corinthians.
Chapter 8, verses 1 through 9.
Okay, verses 1 through 9. I like to, when we share or talk about these questions and minister, God, thank you so much. When we talk about these questions, we want to really surround our question based upon the biblical history or the events that were going on and what Paul was saying as it relates to the state of the Corinthian church and what was going on in the hub there, because Corinthia was known for its ancient spirit or its hub of industry as well as its prostitution and all of the things that were going on. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, were actually letters written by Paul. It was actually three letters, but two were arrived to the church at Corinthians. So when he began to talk to the Corinthian church concerning these matters, that's when you get 2 Corinthians 8:1-4 and the question of asked by Administrator Brian. Ask the question again, Administrator Brian, because my brain is moving at 1,000 degrees because I got two other questions that I want to deal with the issue of poor. When it's my turn, I want to deal with it right now. Go ahead.
Is poverty the result of sin in my life? If poverty means there is sin in our lives, why would Paul say this about the churches in Macedonia? They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor.
Okay. Anyone else on the panel want to answer the question?
Yes, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses, if you look at verses number 7, 8, and 9, and it says, therefore, and I'm reading from the King James Version,
sure.
Therefore, as we abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the serenity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, and that ye through his poverty be rich. So he's saying the poor, he's still talking about the spiritual aspect that is bringing them to humbleness, not that they poor like they don't have food or money or something like that. And like you said, Prophet, they have to know the background of what's going on in this text. And
yeah.
The reason why Paul was talking to them in there, because, as you said, the culture that they had abundance of things, but they was poor in spirit because they didn't really know Christ like they should or maintain in the way of the way that they should be living, set apart from they were accustomed to in their natural abilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. Thank you. And I would probably add to that a little bit in this particular verse. Anybody else on the panel want to say something? Or we go further? Okay. Thank you, Apostle Simmons, as well, too. I would say to this particular 2 Corinthians 8 chapter, and this is when you deal with apologetics, you're defending the text. Paul was really talking to Daniel Brooks, and for those who asked this question, he was explaining, he was defending people giving. And he was talking about those who were giving to the ministry of Paul. And while he was talking to them that were giving to the church, he used this illustration in that particular verse. He said, I speak not by commandment, but by an occasion. He had the occasion that the forwardness of the others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For we, and I know you read already in Evangelist, which he said, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So because he chose to not allow his wealth to supersede his love for those who were whether advantage or disadvantage. He became humble in the presence of God to be able to bless the people of God. But it didn't take away from his ability and his strength and his power to know that he had. See, Yeshua was poor because he had a tax collector going with him wherever he was at. So he eventually, anytime you carry a wealthy tax collector, Matthew's were, who would you know that he had money, but that was not his God. So he said he digressed so he could bless the people. And so Paul was talking about in your giving to the kingdom of God, your generosity of the kingdom of God, he used the illustration of what Jesus was saying to let them know that he was rich, but he did not let his riches defy his ministry of love for the people. So he became poor so that he can bless the people of God. And through his poverty, spiritually, he was able to touch those that were rich as well as those that were poor. I thank you for breaking that down, Daniel, because I was able to step in from that place. Yeah. And thank you, Apostle Simon. So being poverty is a result of my sin. Go ahead, Evangelist. I'm sorry.
Continues over in chapter number 9. This was a continuous thing that the early church battled with, not just only there in Macedonia. They went from cities to cities. And as Paul, as you stated, as he traveled and he began to minister, he had to teach them. There were some that blessed the man of God, and then there was those that did not. But in this particular passage, Paul had to do a lot of teaching in this area because of the people's mindset. And it bring them down to the human, break it all the way down so that they can be able to be humbled. And so, and like I said, if you have a set of people always, you know, well-to-do and well-off, they have to learn how to become poor, not meaning that they're sinful or anything like that. They have to learn to become poor. They have to learn to be dependent and humble themselves to the spiritual aspect of what God would want to gift them with, not so much of what they already have. So it's important that this type of lessons be taught because of, you know, like I said, if you're so accustomed to one thing, you're not going to think of no other kind of way. You're just going to be thinking just that one area that you're accustomed to. And this is what I believe Paul was doing here in Macedonia to the Corinthians church.
Even on that prophet, that's why we were saying that I believe Paul addressing it from not only a physical perspective but a spiritual perspective, because anytime you tie God in it or Christ in it, it brings it spiritual. That's why even over in Jesus was teaching over in Matthew, I believe he was talking about the Beatitudes, and he was teaching about the blessing of the poor in spirit. He said, yes, sir, there shall be the kingdom of heaven. And also, you remember when the young rich ruler came to Jesus and asked him, how can he inherit? And he told him, you know, he told him he
got all his goods
from his youth. Yeah. He told him, go sell what you have and give to the poor. And he went away sorrowful. So that's why even the scripture says a rich man can't enter the kingdom of God. But you have to understand spiritually to break that down in what he was saying. Not saying a rich man can't get into heaven, but his heart has to be right with God in order for him to get in. And that's why Jesus break it down about a man can't have two masters, about, you know, loving him or either loving money or
You know, you either love one, hate the other, cleave to one, and despise the other. But the person asked that question, is poverty or sin is part of their poverty? I don't believe that, but it's the individual. Mm-hmm. Again, to go back to the mindset, man. And that's just my take on it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you all on that. I just believe that underlining that scripture in Matthew 5, the Beatitudes said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they are the kingdom of heaven. And you use that perfect example of the rich man, which relocated to Jesus and told him he did all of these powerful things. And he was all of these things to the letter. Then he said, sell your goods and feed the poor. And in that word, he went away sorrowfully. If you look at the word in the Greek, sorrowfully, it was a man that was grieving to the death, like somebody died. So what Jesus was giving him an illustration is that his wealth became his God. And that wealth, when your wealth become your God, then you go away from God. And I believe he said, it is harder for a rich man to get through the eye of a camel, through the tin eye of a camel, to inherit the kingdom of God, because they have allowed their riches to overrule them. Steve Jobs said something in his latter years. He said, the most expensive bed in the world is, I quote, the hospital bed. Why did he say that? Because even though he owned Microsoft, he owned Apple, and he had $2 billion in his own personal bank account, and that's just in a check-in, whatever he had, and the Apple Corporation is now over $1 trillion, it could not satisfy or pay for his cancer that it took him out of here. So in saying that, you have to understand the value of who you put first in that. So, to answer the question, I'm gonna say this right here. Let me just use it. Jesus said this in the Word of God. Jesus said, there's going to be poor always among us. Now, Jesus took it there. There's going to be poor among us always. So he recognized that there's going to be always poor among us. Why? And then I want to share this from this particular scripture here in, I believe it's, if I could go there and read it from, Second Corinthians chapter 3, Paul was speaking of something here. He was dealing with the issue of laziness. I want to share this. He said, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which ye receive of us. But therefore, know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither do we eat any man's bread for naught. So in other words, he's saying, we didn't come here to eat people's bread for naught. See, what Paul did, he worked and he committed himself. And in return for his work and his commitment, he was blessed. And people don't understand that you follow a leader and you're part of a ministry. And we go through all of these philosophical, theoretical exegesis and hermeneutics, Old Testament, New Testament, about giving. Some people don't believe in tithes and offerings. Some people believe in an offering. Some people don't believe in giving. But Paul was saying, we're enjoying the benefit. And we come to be part of what you were doing, and we enjoy the benefit. So in return, we're going to bless you
for the benefit. And he's breaking it down in detail. Let me go a little further. And here's what he said. For yourself know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat anything, any man's bread for naught. We didn't sit here and eat your bread for nothing. We gave a service to you. We served the kingdom. Let me go on further. But wrought with labor. We work with labor. We gave of the kingdom of God. So we bless you. You sit in the church. You in the place. You're being blessed by the word of God. And you're receiving it. And you're being blessed. So Paul is saying, because of that, we work. So it's only fair for you to bless the kingdom of God. And I'm going to go to the mountain in a minute here with this question. So he said here, neither did we eat any bread for naught, but we wrought with labor and travail night and day. So Paul studied the word of God night and day in the word of God, teaching, preaching the word of God, that we may not be charitable to any of you, not because we have not power, but we make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. So we've been an example just by his life being an example. There it is. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if ye would not work, neither will you eat. So the question is, if you poverty because of the results of sin? No. You're poverty because of the results of not working. And you poverty because of results of you not understanding the law of nature. What goes up must come down. If you're going up, there must be a return. The golden rule is you do unto others, you what them do unto you. So the question is, you're not in poverty because of sin, because if that's the case, all these millionaires should be poor. You're in poverty because you have not taken the principles of the word of God and applied them to your life. And you choose not to do it because you don't want to work. See, sisters, I love y'all, please. But don't try to make Bozo Boaz. You follow me? Because he's going to clown. Don't try to make a man that don't work and ain't going to work try to work. I know you want to play it off. He's looking for a job. No, he should get a job before they put a ring on you, because if you don't get a job, you're going to be working. He's going to be the thing in you. That's for free. But what I'm saying here, back to the scripture. See, if you poverty is a result of your sin. Let me tell you something. I had kids in my life. All right. My parents had a struggle, a difficult time. We all did. I had a difficult time, too. But I worked hard, didn't have a lot of stuff, you know. Even when we started the ministry, should we tell them the story of ministry? Not well. I wore a pair of pants with a hole tore up in the middle of it, right in the middle, by the leg. And I wore those in three different shirts. And priest, minister, worked for apple, oranges, and peanut butter, and jelly sandwiches, and the crackers, and cheese. But as we grew and developed and worked, and God moved us up, see, you got to be faithful. It ain't because of sin. It's because you don't want to work. You don't want to work up the ranks. And when you work up the ranks, you get to a place where you can be able to move yourself out of that mindset. See, that's a mindset. And I know what people talk about preachers and what preachers done. I ain't put my mouth on any prosperity preacher. I'm not putting my mouth on anybody that believe in people giving. Because if you do the work that I do on a Saturday night, and while y'all out at y'all Wendy's and y'all out at y'all Red Lobster and your restaurants and your Cooper Hawks and your party and your fun, I'm sitting at home studying. You get up at 7 a.m. in the morning, do a 7 a.m. message, come to church, and do what I need to do. And y'all sitting excited, and y'all get a four-course meal and still get $5, $10, $20. I'm not saying it's the case. I'm just thinking generically right now, so please don't take it personal. I'm just thinking generically. You giving a four-course meal. Of course, Paul was saying, brothers and sisters, it is only fair, it is only wise to be a blessing. And so is poverty the result of the sin? No. It's a result of you not understanding the principles of it. It's a result of you not understanding the value of working. It's not understanding the importance of being a blessing and the importance of what you should do financially. And that's the issue right there. It had nothing to do with sin. Because in the wilderness, the people were drawn in the wilderness with sin. If you study the wilderness of what Moses was, the Mosaic law, the biggest offering in the world was in the wilderness. And to this very day, it had not been in any other places. I don't care how many churches in the world you see. The wilderness had the biggest offering in the world. Moses had to even stop the people. So in saying that, absolutely not. Poverty is not the result of sin. You go to not understanding the principle of the kingdom of God. I just pass the mic on to you all. Anybody else that has a question? I mean, to the panel. I know people get quiet when we talk about money, but it's okay. Money is a real deal here. You got to talk about it. And you don't blame that on poverty. You don't blame that on sin. Now you blame that on not working, not understanding the principle. You know, and Paul said it here. So even when we were with you, this we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. That's the reality. If a man go to work, he'll get paid so he can eat. If a woman go to work, she get paid so she can eat. And that's the reality there. I don't need an amen. I just need a you telling the truth.
Well,
I
will.
Thank you, man.
Yep.
He's telling the truth, prophet.
He's telling the truth, sir.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Prophet, even in that, and I think that's where the church world, many have gotten a sour taste when it comes to talking about riches and poverty, about giving, because some have been manipulated, some have been controlled by it. But when we really follow, like you said, the biblical principle, the kingdom principle that God has given us, for us to understand the giving, which is the sowing and the reaping. I think you mentioned that in your teaching on when you were dealing with about the seed, cover your seed, and tithes and offering. And you said many doctrines and teachings of men got many believers not believing in the principles of tithing and sowing seeds and offering. They feel like when the old covenant was we're into the new covenant under grace, we give proportionate giving in what they believe, but the principle of tithing still works. If we are priests, which are now priests, we understand the tithing for Levitical priesthood, but if we are priests, God's chosen generation, royal priesthood, then we have to understand our place and our position when it comes to still us, still following the principles of the kingdom in giving, sowing, however we do it, especially now in the old covenant. Now we understand it was given from a place of cattle, of grain, and what they had. But we're in the dispensation now where God has given us monetary gifts, monetary resources, that we're able as his children to use that to give. And this is why even the scripture talks about muzzle not the ox that treaded out the corn. Even though spiritually and symbolically we have to understand that the man and the woman of God that is releasing, they're the ox. And it's telling the people not to muzzle that ox, because he's worthy of part of reaping the benefits. And that's why Apostle Paul said, I'm sowing unto you spiritual things to reap your carnal things. But because many people's minds have been messed up through when it comes to giving and talking about money, they cringe or they back up. But that's why they have the poverty mindset, and that's why they stay in poverty. That's why I said in the beginning, man, it's the mindset. And until your mind come up, as you said, prophet, come up to the place of God, that's why it's always up. The kingdom is, even though it's in us, but the kingdom is up. So if we're looking up to him who is the supplier of all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus, then we won't have a poverty mindset. We won't have a problem giving, even if it's take us to sacrifice to give our last. The widow woman did it. You just think about all the biblical principles that we can apply to our lives to bring us out of a poverty mindset. So, man, you broke it down so plain, and I just thank God for it, man. And I'm learning even on this journey more and more. God teaching me, I'm sowing my way out of poverty. You got to sow your way out.
And even with that, Pastor Simmons, you know, because I hear pastors, they make these blanket statements as if they don't need people's money, and which is fine, but you do need that money because you're blessing them. You're blessing them. See, by them sowing into your life, there's an anointing on your life. There is an anointing on your life. Let me tell you something. Before Bishop Rance Allen passed away, many people know this, and you can see it on what I did on my Facebook page when the day we did that interview. I didn't know he was leaving here. I tied to Mother Allen now. My tie go to her, and to my church, and then to Mother. So I blessed the man of God, and on his life, God opened up the door to have me to travel just as much as he does. Why? Because he had an anointing on his life to travel and preach. Now, you're going to ask the Lord to give me that sounding voice, too, and I'll be all right. But anyway, but on his life, he had that anointing on his life to do that. So through that anointing on that awesome man of God's life, there was something that fell on me. Elijah, there's an anointing on a man and woman of God's life. So for the person that said, is poverty a result of my sin? No. It's a result of you not working and not under a ministry that will be able to train you and teach you the importance of your seed, covering your seed, and the importance of reaping a harvest from where you are at. See, is poverty a result of sin? No, because the King, God owned the whole universe. So all of this is his. All of it. Even what Satan has, it's his too. Your ability to follow the principles of the Word of God opens you up for the promises of God. You're serving God because you're going to get eternal life, but we're serving God to enjoy this life too. So in that, what people are selling us, or what you assume or think, is because poverty is the result of sin. Absolutely not. Poverty is a result of a mindset of people who don't understand the value of their worth and that you what you're worth in life. Because there were people who built the nation of America, and they didn't know their worth. So that's poverty, because you don't know your worth and what your value is. When you know your worth and your value, in God, in the kingdom of God, this whole entire Bible explained to us that we're not serving God for just eternal life, because once you accepted him, you're guaranteed eternal life. You're serving him because he wants his children to be blessed, to be blessed, but he don't want it to become our God. He wants us to have the finer things in life, but he don't want it to become our God. It is when it becomes the your God that trouble happens for people's life. And so you got people, and then the ones who are in ministry that the world is talking about, pastors and preachers and ministry give their prosperity. They're talking about a small hand of people who have wealth that you don't really know what they're doing behind the scene of blessing nations and countries and people. You just seeing what the mainstream media have created for you about this person being rich. Because many ministries are blessing the people of God. If I sat down and went over our budget, our local church budget, and what we do, we built an entire church in Sierra Leone from the ground up, from a ministry that was in a house to a ministry where we had in a building. We built a well over there that served 483,000 people. So when people start saying you living in a nice house, no, that's the enemy attacking them. And that means they don't really understand the principle of the kingdom of God. So is it poverty the result of sin? Absolutely not. It's because you're not working and you're not doing what it is to bring and understand your value as a person. That's the bottom line right there. I work hard to sit up and put pages together, write a book, and present it to people. Well, you got a book. No, I sat there and went in my mind, cried and wept over chapters in a book that I didn't want to write. The administrator by his thought, she looking at me like I was crazy, sitting at the table crying and weeping. She said, wait, you said you have chapters done. Yeah, I'm done. What's wrong with you? I don't want to talk about it. But why you say it? I don't want to talk about it. Well, I ain't bothering. I'm just trying to find it. I don't want to talk about it. So I stopped. You follow what I'm saying? And so when the book makes money, people think you, no, it's a result of me going into the internal me to write and have an idea and going in and sharing my life with the world. And in return, those in the world are blessed by the books that told my life because of their experience. Then in return, people say, wow, I was blessed. But you got people who know you blessing them. And because of their mindset and what's in their mind, they don't feel or they don't understand the principle of blessing people. That's the bottom line. And that's a result of not understanding how to work and be blessed by the value of those who are working on their behalf. That's all I can say. I yield the mic again.
And well, Prophet, just to add to what you're saying, why is it that we as the men and women of God that God has called, truly God has chosen and called, because you have some that just say that they are called to be an apostle, prophet, or evangelist, pastor, or teacher. But we carry the highest profession in the world, the highest profession when it comes to God.
Yes.
You got people that go to school, get degrees in the profession, whether they're judges, lawyers, doctors. You got the athletes that are making millions of dollars, people that create things such as inventions, and you're talking about Steve Jobs and all Microsoft, Bill Gates, and all these different ones with ideas. When it comes to God's ministry gifts. Why do people have a problem with men and women of God, God blessing them and favoring them to be blessed with riches? Not to a place where you're in pride and boasting now, because a lot of people do that, and I know that what has put a stench in people's nostrils when it comes to that. But we carry the highest profession, man, and it's an honorable place to be in when God has chosen you, handpicked you, and called you to be a leader for the people. But we see what we got going on in the land has shifted a lot of things over centuries and decades. But that's something that I always ask, man. We carry an awesome gift, a high profession that God has called us to for him, because he the creator of all things. But people don't say nothing about all the athletes out there making millions of dollars, people that have the profession and they're working. And here we are, we're working, as you said. You're working, you're writing, you're studying, you're fasting, you're denying yourself, you're sacrificing, you're doing funerals, you're doing weddings, whatever it is you're doing, you're taking your time to help the people, to bless the people, but they're looking at you, why he got to have that nice car, why he got to live in that nice house, why he have to have a lot of money. Man, we need to wake up for real, man, as a church, man.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
They lack the respect. They respect what they want to respect. And if you don't have a regard and respect for God, how can you respect the man and women of God? They rather throw their money and watch people run up and down the street, on the basketball court, football field, wherever. Even, I'll use the example, even at hair shows, they'll pay thousands of dollars for someone to go to a class, talk about the things that they have, and leave with no knowledge. It's the lack of respect. People don't want to respect the men and women of God, and it shows and it's evidence in their relationship with God, even in their giving. It's the same thing. If you respect God the way you say you respect God, in your obedience and your discipline, God will honor and bless you. But people don't want to become obedient and disciplined in a lifestyle with God. Everybody just wants this form of God of saying, I know God, I read the word, I know who he is, but you're really not living to the standards of what God is calling you to be in the kingdom. So you're going to be jealous of those who are disciplined, who are walking the lifestyle of God. He's showing you, if you do this, you'll be blessed too. But instead of doing that, they'd rather have that spirit of envy and jealousy within their heart. And then it goes back to really what is poverty to a person? Because you can have all your needs met, and some people are just greedy. They feel like they just broke, but your needs are being met. But if you're looking in the lane of somebody else, you'll consider yourself impoverished.
Sounds good to me.
A prophet.
Yes, sir, Elder. Come on in.
Sitting back listening, and I think a lot of times people, I'm going to put it this way because I can't say true believers or Christians, people in church, they don't remember, they don't connect the dots when they read the word of God. He said, I came that you might have life. And when they look at, that, they have a concept in their mind, because the devil planted that seed in their mind, that, and they've been watching all of these shows where they see of ancient times where the priests and everything, from the Catholic Church, they put this vow of poverty. Well, God didn't say you're supposed to be poor. He said, I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. And when the man of God is driving a nice car, the devil plants the seed. Oh, they're taking the money from the church that we're giving. And they're buying this house. They're buying this car. They're taking this trip. That's not so. And a lot of that comes back to, in conjunction, right, when you look at the natural, that seed was planted back during slavery. They took us against each other. And we haven't been delivered from that. Remember what the word says. You can't take away from it. You can't add what it says, what it says.
Amen.
Amen. Also,
thank you. Somebody's phone on speaker, because I think it kind of interfered a little bit. Administrative guy was saying, okay, but go ahead. Go ahead. You got the earpiece here. That's good. Go ahead. Or somebody may want to ask a question. Go ahead. Come on in.
Also, as when you have a leader who goes in depth studies and gives of themselves, you should want them to look a certain way. You don't want your leader, and I'm going to speak just personally for myself, my leaders. I don't want my leader to look broke, busted, or not look like what the word that they're teaching us. It's a representation of who you are, a part of that ministry. And they represent you when they go out and minister. I don't know, me personally, and they know it, and anybody can ask them, nobody's going to outdo me giving to my leaders on the outside. Nobody. No outside people is going to come in and support and give to my leaders better than me. It's just not going to happen. I don't want nobody. I don't want them to feel like outsiders are doing more for them than the body that they serve and that they are overseeing and that they are accountable to. Nobody shouldn't even want that at all. And I don't allow it. I told them when I first came. I told them, I said, well, where's the pastor's ministry at? Where's that at? And they said they didn't have one. I said, what you mean? I don't understand. I couldn't understand that they weren't being cared for. That doesn't register. When you take care of the man and woman of God, God will take care of you. I lack nothing. I lack nothing. So I don't walk poverty. I don't think poverty. But I'd like for the man and woman of God to look a certain way in representing me when I introduce them to other people.
That's good.
Can I, Prophet?
Yes, sir.
Can I put a little icing on that cake she just baked?
You sure can, sir.
One of the things we fail to understand, our leaders, like she said, is feeding us from the word of God. And from the outside looking in, people say, well, I don't want your God with your preacher looking like that. And he's saying God will came that you may have life and that abundantly. I can do better by myself. So not only are the men and women of God representing us, they're representing the word of God and what it stands for. But when I look at my pastor dressed to the nine, I tell him, hey, God is no respecter of persons. What are you doing for him, he'll do for you. And like you were saying, you have to learn the principles to get to where he's at.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Allah. Thank you, woman of God. Anyone else in any that's in the panel have a question?
Robert, there's hold on. A young man asking if you would or someone would break down Matthew 6:19-20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through to steal. But lay up yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal.
Okay. Matthew 6:19-20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's turn to people of God, Matthew 6:19-20 panel. You guys can come in to that one. Anybody want to hear that? You want me to read it? Would y'all want me to read that first?
I can read the prophet. And then that's one of my favorite chapters of Matthew chapter 6.
There you go. It's in your hand.
Yes, sir. Matthew chapter 6. Is it verse 19? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
It said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, moth and rust are corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust are corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Yes, again, here you go, Jesus. That's why I always remind the people of God that if you ever study Matthew chapter 6 in its entirety, that covers the whole scope of who you are in the kingdom. Jesus taught it well. And when he's talking about treasures, you got to understand, as a believer, you got treasures in you. Treasures are in you. They may be hidden. They may be hidden, but you got to search them out. Kingdom is in you. And that's why he says always say, look up. And when we look up, we know we got to look to him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Many people are building treasures down here, the earthly treasures. All of that is good because those are promises to us. And in Matthew 6:33 about seeking his kingdom first and all of his righteousness, he said everything else will be added to you. When he said everything else will be added to you, those are all of the other benefits that come with seeking his kingdom first and all of his righteousness. Whatever you believe in God for, whether it's finances, marriage, whether it's relationships, whether it's healing, whatever it is, it's always in the kingdom, because in the kingdom ain't nothing broken and ain't nothing out of order, ain't nothing out of
Amen.
So everything in the kingdom is always intact. So when he said lay treasures up in heaven, he's not talking about down here on earth, because many people, we're building treasures down here on earth where moth and rust can come in and where thieves can break in and steal. He's talking about the tangible stuff, stuff like houses, our cars, the material stuff, which is stuff that is vanity, stuff that when you leave this place, when you exit earth and wherever you go, you leaving all this stuff behind. You can't hook up the U-Haul to the hearse. That ain't working. So when we understand it from this place, what Jesus was teaching, your main riches is in the kingdom of God. And when we really seek him first and really understand who we are in the kingdom, that come back to identity. Because a lot of people don't understand who they are in the kingdom, so that's why they can't possess the treasures that God has for them. And that's why he goes over even in Matthew chapter 7, and he talks about ask, it shall be given, seek, you shall find, and knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. And then Jesus said something that's powerful in that same chapter, prophet and people of God, over in Matthew chapter 7. He said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, he said, I will liken unto him a wise man who built this house on a rock, a solid rock, a foundation. And then he explained about when the storm come, the waves beat against that house, and then he went down in the latter part of that verse, and he talked about whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken unto him a foolish man who built his house on a rock. So in order for us to be wise, we have to allow our treasures to be for the kingdom of God. And that's where God will release all of the pearls, the diamonds, or the gold, the silver, all of those different things that he has. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, that just seems too far-fetched. Well, you need to take on a kingdom mindset, and then your mindset will change. It'll change from a religious mindset, from a carnal mindset, from an earthly mindset, because the Bible said we're in the world, but we're not of it. But some people say, "Well, that's too heavenly for me, or too earthly good." But we have to really understand this thing, Prophet. And that's why, again, the people of God really have to be taught, especially new converts, even some of the people that have been on this journey for a long time, but been in a religious or traditional mindset where their mindset had been incarcerated or imprisonment, where they were being bewitched, I call it, or being deceived. I thank God delivered me. I tell the church all the time. I started out in a traditional religious church, but I thank God that he brought me to the knowledge of the truth, that the Holy Ghost, which is my greatest teacher, set me among powerful men and women of God, such as yourself, Prophet, that I can learn from, I can receive from, and I can grow. And that's what we need to know, and that's where our treasure is at. It's in you. We have treasures in earth and vessels. That's us. But the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Many people's in the way, Doctor. Too many people's in the way.
Well,
that's my
take. Yeah. Anyone else? You're right. And also, when you say that, man of God, and to the panel and to the people, and then we open up to the audience. There are people you can sow into their lives. There are people that have that anointing on their life that you can sow a seed because of what's on their life. And you know, because the anointing on their life is what it is, those treasures, you know you're going to receive the result of the treasure that's on their life because of who they are in the kingdom of God and who they and in their word. And people don't see that, but they're looking at the human side or the flawed side of that anointed man and woman of God, and they miss it. I've sown seeds to ministry and to people. We went to all the way to the bottom of Alabama. What city was that?
Mobile, Alabama.
And blessed a pastor in Mobile, Alabama. Drove ourselves down. Obey God. And the result of our obedience, Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing and obedient, you'll be able to eat the good of the land. And we saw the results of our obedience to be able to eat the good of the land. God bless you, Pastor Beverly Liner, Dr. Liner. Glad to have you on with us tonight. Thank you, Bishop Maggio. Thank you for joining us tonight as well. Bishop, good to have you. Pastor Wilson should be blessed. Blessed to have you too. Pastor David Paul Elijah, thank you for joining us as well too. It's good to have, you have people that you sow into the, so because of them, and you know that God is going to bless you because that's that anointing on their life. It's just that anointing on their life that guarantees, because those are those treasures in their life that you see the benefit of them. There are people who have that certain anointing on them that you sow, you will receive a harvest because that's that anointing on their life. Yeah, so that's that anointing. And I trust the anointing on a man, woman of God. So he said, lay not up for yourself treasure upon the earth. In other words, I'm going to try to break this revelation. Don't waste time
with what's inside you on this earth, where people are just like moth and rust and corrupt, and using all that's on you of what you have. But remember that what's in you came from God, who is the treasurer in heaven, who's giving you the gift that's on you, the anointing on you. And don't lose sight of that because people don't bless you. When their mind is connected to Jeremiah 29:11, when God knows the thoughts, he will send the people who understand the heavenly plan of God to come down and bless you in the earth reality without you having to go through the moth, the rust, and the corrupt of people and the thieves. Because, see, you got a lot of people that are in pews in church that are thieves, and they don't, and they know it, but they don't look at it that. You got people that are benefiting from what's on your life, and they don't bless it, and they know it. But go over to Sister Tina and put that weave on. Go across town to those Chinese people and get them nails done and your feet done and all of those things. And going over to introduction to Dr. Nordstrom and Evangelist Mason, and go over to Whippapier Walmart, and you're going to pay for those garments that you buy. You follow what I'm saying? But when it comes to the kingdom of God, we don't understand the power of that anointing on that man or that woman of God. Why? Because we don't understand the value of the anointed on them. So therefore, this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with church charity and athlete celebrity. Everybody from movie stars, actors, they're the celebrity. Us who preach in the gospel and teach and prophesy with charity. So we treat church leaders as charity, but everybody else is celebrity. Can I preach now, Matthew? Because when we come to the seas in the kingdom, we don't want to deal with Christ, but we want to deal with charity. When it comes to the seas in the kingdom, we want to deal with athletes to be celebrity. Why? Because our mindset has been taught to believe and to think that we are a charity, kingdom of God, and that we don't deserve anything because God is going to be our provider. He's going to be our provider. But he puts people on the earth, men and women of God, who trust the anointing on your life and that gift that's on your life that's changing the atmospheric of their life, that's sitting, teaching them, training them, blessing them, being obedient to God to share with them the things of the kingdom. Whether you recycle, you're a research, you're a church hopper, you're a dream buster, you're a covenant person, we're supposed to sit and be the charity to the world. And we're supposed to give all of these benefits of the charity. Now, Catholic Church vowed to poverty, but they have all of the gold, the silver, and the money and everything else in the Vatican. So when they say they vow to poverty, they vow to that priest who don't have to work, but he still rides the Chrysler. He still have a parsonage in the house. He still have benefits. He still have his clothes and his garments taken care of. And they wear the gold, 18-karat gold, cross on their neck and the diamond cross on the neck by the Catholic Church. So, and they got what they call, what do they call that when the people die? They will their money over to the Catholic Church. So they vow to poverty. So what they say, you a priest, you ain't got to work. We got all of these people who have passed away and give us $1 million, $10 million. So we have money. So, yeah, you vow to poverty. In other words, you don't have to work. We will take care of you. That's what they were saying to the Catholic Church. Other hand, there's people that God put in our life that are selected to bless us. God choose them. They chose them. They're in your life to be a blessing. God select people to be a blessing. And their job is to bless you. It is. They're mandated by God. There are people right now mandated by God to bless me. There are people that are mandated by God to bless Simmons, Evangelist, Wilkes. They're mandated. You know why? Because God talked to them about being blessed. But as soon as God tells them to bless you, they got to think how much to bless you with. Or they got to try to figure out, I'm going to wait for the right time to bless you. Ain't no right time or bad time to bless. Just your obedience open up that window to bless that man and woman of God. You follow what I'm saying? Are you hearing me? So you have to understand the power. So is poverty the result of sin? Absolutely not. It's a result of a person not working. And if you're receiving from that man who preached 52 Sundays, in my case 104, or that man that preached 52 Thursday and give you a word and come back and give you an extra, give you some extra dessert in your message. It's only fair, it's only wise to bless that man and that woman of God. However, God does not want us to lay up our treasure on earth and sow our pearls before swine. And a lot of us throwing our pearls in the midst of swine. Why? Because we don't know the difference of the smell. That's for free. You got to understand that in the kingdom of God, if you're doing what you do in the kingdom of God, God will not allow you to walk around being poverty in a poverty mindset. You just don't do it. And then for those who are in the kingdom of God who don't give or who are in the kingdom of God don't understand the principle, you teach them the principle of how to give. And then those of you or people who are in the kingdom of God who are used to downing leaders or people because of giving, it is really not that leader. It's what you experience from your previous ministry because you're a recyclable person. And because of your recyclable person from certain churches, you bring that mindset to anointed men and women of God ministry, and you try to get them to buy into your recyclable place. But how many of you know that in 2021, recyclable cans are worth something? So you can be recycled if you recognize your worth when you go over to the right place to help you along the way. I yield the mic on that one. Help that man. Help them out, Administrator Brian.
Amen. So this is a. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Brian. Can you do a commercial and just come back? We're gonna take the commercial, and we'll be right back, and we'll go.
Join Prophet Lerone Matthews every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. and on Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. for Facebook Live. Also, you can join Prophet throughout the week with Drive By with the Prophet for a powerful prophetic word from the Lord. You can go to Lerone Matthews on Facebook and Lerone Matthews Ministries and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Inc. on Facebook Live. We look forward to seeing you on Facebook Live with Dr. Prophet Lerone Matthews. Times are subject to change depending upon the availability of Dr. Prophet Lerone Matthews. The new book is coming soon. The latest from Dr. Prophet LaRon Matthews. The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her. The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her. The new book is coming soon. Written by Dr. LaRon Matthews, PhD. Get ready to have your spirit lifted and your soul rejuvenated. The Encounter with Wisdom, The Secret of Her. By Dr. LaRon Matthews, PhD. Stay tuned for the book release date and information on how to purchase your copy. Coming soon. Coming soon.
Prophet LaRon Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries would like to thank you for your prayers and support. Prophet Matthews invites you to become a monthly partner to help reach souls of the nations all around the world. As a monthly partner with Prophet LaRon Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries, you will be a vital part of the powerful end-time army that God is raising up to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to the nations of this world. To help accomplish our God-ordained vision, you can sow your seed at www.WeRestoreYou.org. That's WeRestoreTheLetterU.org. Or call 708-377-6774. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries is a 501c3 tax-exempt ministry. God bless you.
Amen. We're back. Go ahead, Administrator Brad. I think Apostle Simmons, somebody wanted to say something. We're back.
You can go ahead, Apostle.
Oh, bless you, Administrator. Prophet, it's based on something that you just said and released, man, powerful. And then going back to Prophetess Kina. When she was sharing about, you know, seeing her leaders blessed, taking care of her leaders, and she wanted to be the first partaker in that. I believe, again, one of the things when you talk about treasures, through the question that the person asked about treasures, hidden treasures, one of the things that the believers are struggling with even now as we see so many people are coming to what we call that, that's still that competing, where it brings jealousy, as she, that woman of God said, envy among us as leaders. And you see it in our communities, our cities, our states, even around the world, even in cultures. It's a competing when it comes to God, that many people, it leaves like the unbelievers, and then it leaves those that we are teaching and training, it leaves them in a place of, to me, it's almost like confused, because you gave the scripture over in Matthew 6, you quoted it, about when Jesus said not sowing your pearls unto swine or dogs, not giving that which is holy to dogs. We got to know how to kick and shake the dust off our feet when people choose not to receive the oil that's on our lives, the anointing that's on our lives. We have to learn that. And I know we are human, because me and my wife had a conversation not long ago how our hearts are, and then me and you had a conversation even how we give people chance after chance after chance because our heart is right before God and we just love people. But people, sometimes the enemy use them to try to manipulate us or try to make it feel like or seem like when we're really releasing and pouring into their lives, whether that wherever God uses us, whether it's teaching, preaching, prophesying, or just being there for the people of God, praying for them, interceding for them, you know, the sacrifice that we make as leaders, sometimes people, man, they, the woman of God said, they don't respect it, or they, to me, feel like they're just taking advantage of it, not you know, honoring it. That's why the Bible says give honor where honor is due. And if people never come to grips to understand that, man, then they would keep right on doing the same thing over and over again. And then we as leaders have to really discern where we're really sowing our pearls and where we're really, what we're releasing is holy. We're really releasing it to dogs. We really got to discern that, man. And we have to quit dealing with the old repetitive stuff. People, if they're not going to change, broke the man's chain, if they're not going to change, they're going to keep right on doing the same old stuff and getting the same old results, man. So I just wanted to come back in and say that part.
That's good. That's absolutely good. Because we can't be ignorant concerning the stated devices or people. We can love them, but I think when we become, we love people and love them to the place where it's no longer love. We just being crazy. You follow what I'm saying? Because it's certain things you do. The sovereignty of God does not end, but the sovereignty of God ends when we as people, and listen to the one I say this, because it's only through human beings that we see the sovereignty of God, because he's not coming down to be the sovereignty. He uses us. So he uses us as a sovereignty in the earth realm. I hope this makes sense. And we have long suffering. We do. We give. We pour out. We give. But here it is. Lay not up yourself for treasure, because we can love people. Let me put it like that. We can give and give to people to the place where we can lose ourselves and actually lose our life in God, because we give it. Because we're giving to the place where they're taking us for granted. And we're giving. So we can't be ignorant concerning people and our relationship. Treasure. You are a treasure chest to the kingdom of God. And I believe I preached that several months ago in one of our Sunday service, the treasure within you. You have to know your value in the kingdom of God, or the treasure chest you are to the kingdom of God, that you can't waste God's anointing on people who don't want your anointing. And God himself will not let you waste your time. Jesus used parables on people who didn't want his anointing. That doesn't take away the love of God or the Spirit of God on your life and the greatness of God. You just happen to not going to be crazy and let your pearls be before swine. It's a giving and taking the kingdom of God. That's what that is. And you don't want to get bitter and then blame God for, oh, well, Lord, you told me to do it. Well, did God really tell you to do it, or is your feeling and your emotion tied up in that? Because you have to know. You have to know in what you're doing in the kingdom of God. Because believe you me, any man and woman who's in the kingdom of God doing what we do and loving God's people and giving of yourself, because I know all of us do it. You're a preacher, just to even do ministry. And to come out and do ministry and do what you do in ministry, you're an honorable place, sir. You're an honorable place, woman of God. You're an honorable place, man of God. So just to do what you do is an honorable thing in the kingdom of God. So it's a very honorable thing to do. But when the individual or person, my message was there, God is revealing the treasure chest within you. That the treasure chest within you, Luke 17:20 and 2 Chronicles 4. And he talks about the treasure chest in you. So we have to know that treasure chest within you and the value of that treasure chest. And people don't understand the value of the treasure chest in others, because they really don't know the treasure chest in them. Yeah. And then the ones who do know the treasure chest in them, they don't want you, your treasure chest, to become just as great as theirs, when it will never be, because you who you are in the kingdom of God. So, and they get mad at you because of the treasure chest, because when you show up as a true treasure chest, you really find out that they were just a cubic zirconia all the time, being a counterfeit, but really they don't want to use the real treasures in them, because the best treasures in the world and the diamonds are the rough. They don't want to go down to the roughest places in their life
to get cut by a diamond cutter like you who are anointed, who can carve them out. So they pretend that they're a diamond in the rough. Now you're a cubic zirconia. Because if you're a real diamond in the rough, you allow leaders to go in and be able to carve you into that treasure chest. That's what you call a diamond cutter. He can go down, or she can go down, and be able to carve you out of where the roughest edges are. But because you don't want to deal with the roughest edges, you pretend to be a cubic zirconia. And then when the real diamond shows up and show that the shine doesn't have any glitches and itches, and then when it shines in the sun, you'll know the real diamond from the cubic zirconia. Then you're not going to lay your treasure up on earth with cubic zirconia mindset will try to change the diamond in you. That's just for free. I'm just talking. All right. This is good tonight. All right. So the audience, those who listen in, you want to come in? Anyone else for the panel before we go to the audience? Anyone else for the panel?
I just want to just chime in a little bit on I pray that people are really receiving this tonight, because when you have leaders, they, like you say, prophet, all the studying that you do, and even Apostle Simmons and even Evangelist Wilkes as pastors, people need to realize how y'all intercede for us, and y'all go into the depth. Where a lot of us are not at that place of going into. And I would not want my leaders or y'all praying on my behalf to have a grievous heart. So when you're taking care of the man and the woman of God, whoever y'all leaders are, when you're taking care of them and they go before God for you, you want their hearts not to be heavy. You don't want them to have burdens on their minds or issues. And I'm saying, they are lacking in anything or bills or anything, but you just never know what is on their mind. You want your leaders to be joyous before the Lord. I just really pray that they really get this, because I would never want my leaders, nor you, prophet, because you saw them into my life also, and even Apostle Simmons. I would never want y'all mentioning my name in a place or interceding on my behalf with a heavy heart. I want it full of joy mentioning my name. And that's what your seeds do. You want to sow joyously and not have them grieving before anything. So I really pray that people are really receiving this, because this is good. This is even taking me up another level in my giving, because I love giving. So. But I pray that they're really receiving it. But they just really think about the man and woman of God when they pray and intercede before you. They do a lot. They do a lot.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you for sharing with me, God. All right. The audience, those who are listening, someone else wanted to say something for the panel.
Yes, sir. Good evening. Good evening, Prophet. This is Denise and everyone else listening. How are you?
God bless you, woman of God.
Thank you. God bless you.
Woman of God, just hold on a quick second. The panel, you guys want to say something, because we're going to go to the audience and let them say something. The audience, yeah, let them come in. Okay. Okay, so this is the audience. If you listen in, you get star six and come in. I think you said, sister, give me your name again, woman of God. You wanted to say something. That's the audience.
My name is Denise. Denise.
Okay, so Sister Denise, come on in. God bless you, Sister Denise.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to let you know I appreciate the opportunity to even come in. And I didn't want to say anything at first, because it's my first time on this line on Monday night. I just wanted to listen to see how you guys flow. I believe, you know, I'm the one joined yesterday with your ministry.
Yes, God bless you. Yes. All right, may you go to the ministry. Bless you, woman. God. Thank you. Come on in.
Praise God.
Bless you on tonight.
Yes, yes, sir. Praise God. Thank
family
God.
Joined our ministry yesterday. Bless you.
Yes, thank you. Sir. Thank
Come
you.
On in.
I Yes, sir. I appreciate you, and I do honor you. I wanted to listen at first to see how you guys, how you flow. And it's a little different for me again, but it's a lot of, I see how you would answer a lot of questions people have. I have not been around that in a long time. And it just stirs you up, make you go, wow. So they, you know, a lot of things that you guys said, it was so enlightening. When you, at the end, were talking about a diamond and a cutter, and I just believe because of who you are in God, being the prophet, there are things you have even picked up in my own life in this area about who I am that I personally don't really know or I'm not really aware of myself. So if you could elaborate on that a little bit more about just how we may not have been treated right or dealt with in the right way. I just thank God for the new that he's doing in our lives. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'll say this since you are a new member to the ministry. I told the people yesterday, I don't pastor people. I pastor your purpose. So if you want me to pastor your purpose, that comes with correcting. That comes with taking you from the old mindset of your old church. Come with taking dealing with all of the things that are going on. I don't pastor your tithes. I pastor your challenges and your tests. You're not a stock option at Restoration. Your stock goes up one day and goes down. No, I pastor the purpose of you in the ministry. And I believe it's reciprocal. I don't go behind pastors and say, well, because this person was bad, this person was this. Because that's not my job to judge what another pastor did to you or how he treated you. My job is that when you come into our atmosphere, you won't have to go through memory recall because there's going to be such a presence of God in our ministry that whatever you came out of, you just memorialize it because we believe in breaking the word of God and the series that we're dealing with called, what is the series that we're dealing with? Anybody know what series we're dealing with? Do you know what series I'm teaching on? Anybody want to take a challenge? You've been following us. When letting go count for something. I know y'all didn't hear it. But anyway, so when letting go count for something. And so I've been sharing that, how important it is to let go because it counts for something. And so you're in a new atmosphere, new place, because we're all letting go. 2019 was a setup. 2020 was obituary year. 2021 was a year of grief. 2022 is going to be a year of depression, oppression, suicide. 2023 is going to be, you're going to be able to get your mind back. 2024 is pestilence. 2025, all of these are things that are shifting the dichotomy of the land each year. So until literally 2027, you're going to see the rise and the fall of people who don't want to change their mindset. You're going to see those who in churches who are going to try to do the same thing. You're going to see a fall because you will absolutely not. Even the angels of the living God ain't going to let people come into the church and bring the same thing they left that up from this Nimrod and this Baal spirit and some of the things that have transpired, and especially the Ichabod syndrome in the land. He's not going to let that happen. So you asked a question for you. In you being who you are, woman of God, Sister Denise, your heart is open for change. It's open for change. And in the atmosphere of change, it's my duty to do what the word of God said, I believe it's in Job 20:20 when Job said it on my appointed time, I will wait for my change to come. My job is to bring change to the chain. So whatever was chaining you up is to bring change in those areas that chain you up so that you can be able to flow in the liberty of God's hand and in the strength of an atmosphere. I was talking to a leader today, and I was explaining to them specifically that in this time of my life, My job is to protect the congregation or the people that the Lord had me over, because I don't want blood of anybody on my hand. Nobody can be left out. So if it means me stepping out of my character to defend the characteristic of those that I am, I'm willing to do that. Because I saw the game that people play with leaders, because they think that we are charity, but everybody else is celebrity. I'm not a charity. My job is to protect the congregation that God has called me to shepherd. And that even included and limited, I mean, included even to the place where everybody ain't going to prophesy into your life. I don't care how talented they are in our ministry, because their sound may not be the sound of me. My leader had given me a fragrance, an oil that was from his leader. Then he trusted me to have a fragrance of his life. And if people coming in our ministry with all these titles, it means nothing to me. That's for free for those that listen in. You're going to come into this ministry with a character, and your character is going to let me determine your title. So I appreciate the greatness. And they're not going to just talk to anybody and say, oh, well, let me release a word to them. No, we ain't going to do that, even from pulpit. I had a bad experience yesterday, but it didn't take the knowledge that we have for today. So in saying that, woman of God, my job is to protect the flock and keep our pulpit from being tainted by sounds of people that use that platform for that arena or that agenda. Because you are important to the kingdom of God. And I can't let nobody drip. But what I can do, I can let you lead and bleed, but I can't let you drip. It's when you drip, then we got a problem, because it leaves the paper trail. So in saying that, it's my job to be able to be not a band-aid pastor, but one that can go in as a medical profession and go in and operate on the wounds of the people. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. You're welcome. Bless you on tonight. Someone else wanted to come in. You're welcome.
I want to say something. This is
come on in, woman of God, great kingdom leader.
God bless you. I really enjoyed this word tonight. Oh, my God, you all have really, really blessed me. It was so empowering and inspiring. It blessed me down in my sanctified soul to know that when you build your treasures, which are in you, that no one can come and destroy them or take them away from you or eat it up, because it is the will of God that you shall grow greater instead of lesser. And amen. So this is what I want to say to you. Thank you for being the man of God that you are. I am excited about you and your future and everyone else on the line that is connected to you. But I want to really give you a testimony.
Amen. Come on.
I have a sister that's next to me, and she had a stroke 4 days ago. When she had the stroke, they were saying it wasn't looking good. Well, before then, the doctor had diagnosed her with a mask over her brain, and God has been having. He told me to pray for 21 days, and in them 21 days, we would get a good news. And so the mask was all over the back of her brain, and the doctor said it was really, really bad. They didn't know. They couldn't shrink at the rate because the mask was embedded into her brain. And so we've been praying and crying out to God to deliver masks and to heal people of cancer. And she had a stroke 4 days ago. And when she had the stroke, they rushed her to the hospital. When she got to the hospital, they did an MRI. And so they kept her in the hospital. And so today when her neurosurgeon doctor called her, the neurosurgeon told her, "I got good news." She said, "What is the good news?" She said, "Well, I got bad news and I got good news." She said, "What is the bad news first?" She said, "Well, the bad news is you had another TIA that aggravated from your major stroke." master, but the good news is the mask that was on your brain is totally gone.
Wow.
None, wow, nothing, nothing, nothing. When you're faithful to God, as you have said, when you treat the man and the woman of God right, no matter what else is going on, and you pay your tithes and your offering and serve faithfully, God will hear and he will answer your prayers.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what other things going on, if you serve God right, if you take care of the man of God, I always tell them, they say, Apostle, you're an apostle. When the men of God and the women of God come in, why do you turn into like an armor bearer? I said, I was an armor bearer first. I know how to serve to make sure that they are comfortable. And when you become a server instead of still trying to be a leader, when the man or the woman of God come in, they can be your leader when you learn to humble yourself under them and become the servant or the student and let them be the teacher and the leader. I promise you the growth will grow through you that no man, woman, or person, boy or girl, can take away from you because of the glory of God. I bless you for your anointing. I thank you for always correcting and helping people. Some people don't know that when you come to help them, it is a blessing. And so tonight, I tell the Lord, thank you for your life. God bless you, and may your life grow greatly, even the more. And those that don't know and so busy trying to turn things into a different, they're going to end up in trouble because the Bible says, touch them, my anointed, and do my prophet no harm. God bless you, man. God
bless you on today. Dr. Beverly London, God Care for You Ministry, Pastor London in Chicago. Bless you. You should care.
If you serve God and you pay your tithes and your offerings and you do what you're supposed to do and you try to figure out why you're struggling, why you're going through, then you need to ask God, are you giving begrudgingly? What is going on that your blessings are not coming? Because the word of God said, if you serve right, he will not withhold any good thing from you if you have clean hands and a pure heart. And I promise you without a shadow of doubt, if you give and you plant seeds and you do what God have told you to do, guess what's going to happen? He'll bless you. I promise you. I'm living in $250,000 home, got a brand new car out there, and I could tell everybody how I struggled and went through. And one day I said, God, what is your purpose for me? And the other day I was sitting in here and I was thinking about when I looked around and saw all that God gave me, all I could do was break down and cry because when he told me to do what I had to do and I began to do it, sometimes I didn't want to give my money. I didn't want to give my money because I was like, oh, God, I don't even know what they're going to do with my money. I'm like some of you all on here. But I guarantee you, if you plant that seed, plant out of your need and watch what God do. Plant out of your need. I'm going to be honest. I disconnected a man because he kept saying, you need to give me more money. You need to give me more money. I said, this man is crazy. I don't know him like that. And I need a place to live. I had a place to live, but I wanted something better. When you want better, God will give you better if your heart is right. And that's what I'll give you tonight. God bless you all real, real good and be blessed.
I receive that for me. I receive it for me, God. Amen. All right. Anyone else tonight? Wow.
God bless you again, Prophet.
Yes, sir.
Certainly bless God for the woman of God. Bless you, Dr. Lovely London. Bless you, woman of God. Prophet, the young lady that was on just a few minutes ago speaking, I believe her name was Denise.
Yeah.
And you was talking to her, encouraging her. I believe you said she came part of your ministry. While you were talking to her and sharing some things with her, I want to make sure she's still on. She's still on? Okay. I want to release this to her, man. I heard the Lord say that.
Denise, are you? Okay, she's on.
He's erasing the pain. He's rewriting your story. He said, now this is a time to come to sit, to receive, to apply, and to come into a place of growing and maturing as you sit under the teaching of the man of God. Woman of God, God is rewriting your story. Leave the scars, because the scars are going to be a reminder
surgeon. I heard the man of God said surgeon at the end. That's what he come to do. The surgeon. He's doing the work. Scars. Scars will remind you of what God is doing in and through your life. He will perfect that which concerning you, woman of God. He's rewriting your story. It's not by accident that he sent you to the man of God. Man, I almost see you like the widow woman. You wanted to throw in the towel, give up.
Yep. Yes.
Our woman of God, you shall live to declare the works of the Lord because you came to the prophet of the Lord. The prophet of the Lord received you. Now he's taking you to God in prayer. Now watch what God would do concerning your life. Sit humbly, woman of God, because God is rewriting your story. Bless you on today.
Thank you so much. Can you all hear me? Thank you.
Yes, we can. Thank you, woman of God.
Yes, thank God. I thank you. I wanted to know what you wanted me to do, and so he just made it clearer. Just, and you did too when you said how you see me. You see my character, and I didn't come in with a title or anything. I just thank God for where I am now in the kingdom. I thank God for you, for your covering, for your, you want to be very careful how you handle his people. I see that. I thank God. As soon as I got on the line, I felt the anointing. I said, wow, God, so powerful. And so it helps me to kind of know what you want or looking for from me right now, which is when he just gave that word, just let God do it. And so I don't be worried about what you, you know, I'm not sure what you wanted me to do since I have been saved for a while. I'm like, wow, I don't know what he want. I would tell some of them, but I will share this. This might help. God got to the place where he brought me to a place of being healed in my emotions, in my heart, where I love people now. I'm able to help, you know, them. In the past, it was where I was, the people there didn't receive me. When you said that, I was like, wow. No matter what I did, they kept me at a distance. I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, wow, what's going on? But I learned how to forgive. But it's like God taught me that was like a training ground to see how I would respond to different things that you go through with people in ministry. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And it is well.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Adio.
Come on in. God bless you, Bishop Maggio. Come in. Come on in, sir.
Amen. You know, I have to agree with Dr. London. If your heart is right, God's going to bless. And miracles are going to happen. And sometimes God is really searching the person's heart to see where they're coming from. And you see, he knows everything, you know. And that's the thing. God knows. We can't hide nothing from God. He knows our motives. He knows everything about us.
Yes,
why
Lord.
We're doing. And, you know, are we doing ministry or are we serving because we love God and we love people, or are we looking to get something out of it? And, you know, I've traveled and preached in many churches and met many leaders and met many of God's people. And, you know, I've dealt with what I know is real. I've dealt with the superficial also and that which isn't real. And I thank God that God gave me discerning of spirits too, because sometimes it's not always on the outside scene. But, you know, the Lord can let you find out when you deal with people that, you know, you'll be able to look in their hearts and spirits and they're coming from. And you're not in a position to judge, of course, but you are in a position to know what's going on, and God wants that. And, you know, I've dealt with so many people, and I believe that the gift of discerning of spirits has really protected me down through the years because, you know, I've met people that really were trying to manipulate me and even destroy my ministry. And, you know, and it guarded me. That gift of discerning of spirits guarded me from witchcraft spirits and spirits
yes.
that promote self and things like that, you know. And so,
yes.
You know, that augmented the other gifts that God uses in the prophetic anointing, the miracle gifts, you know, and I thank God for all that. And I thank God for the preachers strong through me, you know, and the great anointing. I give God the glory for that through prayer and fasting and desiring to live a holy life. God has definitely honored all those. And but I can see, you know, like I was saying, that Dr. London is definitely correct with that. And also, you know, I heard you touch on so many things tonight, and it came to me that, you know, people need to pray for the leaders. They really do, because the leaders are the ones Satan wants to hit first. And then don't forget.
Absolutely.
Yes. And you'd be next if you're not praying for them. You'll be next, because if they fall, then whoever's right there behind them or with them is going to fall. And we don't want that in the body of Christ and in the church. God wants to use us and do a great work in these last days, and we've got to be in the right position. Praise God, you know. And if we are in the right position, God's going to move. Amen. But we got to be obedient in many areas and discipline ourselves. And, you know, I heard an apostle the other day preaching on the radio. His name was Apostle McDonald from Tennessee. And he said, I believe in deliverance, but he said, you can't keep deliverance without discipline. And I went back to where, you know, we're disciples. And that means that we're disciplined. We're disciples of Christ. That means we're disciplined. We read the word every day. We pray in the Holy Ghost every day, you know. And we fast, the Lord tells us to fast. We don't mess around with things and get off course. We don't let people tell anything but the word of God. And we love them, but we've got to really put God first, you know. And I've had people try to take me off my course and this and that, and I've told them, no, I can obey God. I love you. I respect you, but I don't agree with you, and that's that. You know. And some of them have come back to me and said, hey, you're right. Some didn't. I said, well, you know, I'm still praying for them. But and to the person that just received that holy prophecy, God showed me. He said that he is going to, this is an additional holy prophecy. God told me he's going to line you up with the right people. You have not met the right people so far. But God is going to put you with the right people. Oh, yes, he is. Macho mama, Lord. Amen. You have a heart that's open, see, and people have tried to take advantage of you like they tried to do to me. And you know, I see you going and doing things for people that never said thank you. And you even wondered, even appreciative of what I do. You wonder, and I've wondered too.
Wow. You're right. That's funny. Oh,
correct
Lord.
People, thus saith the Lord. And there are people that are going to bless you. Amen. You know, God has positioned to bless you. And, you know, God's going to help you to forget about a lot of things that happen.
Oh,
even the lies. Oh, my Lord. Even the lies. I rebuke every lie against you. By the gainsayers. And God said he's going to shut the mouths of the lions and the gainsayers. For no weapon formed against you will prosper. Glory to God. That which I have called you to do, it is established and it shall come to pass. Thus saith the Lord. Ooh, my Lord, I thank you tonight, Lord God, for blessing her from the head to the soles of her feet. My Lord, I thank you tonight, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you honor and glory. Ooh, glory to God.
Jesus, God. Thank you.
I heard the Lord say, because you are aligning yourself with this ministry and submitting yourself to this ministry and prophet, holy prophet, the man of God, you're going to be blessed. Hallelujah.
Wow.
God, and God, you resist the devil, he will flee. Ooh, yes, he will. Praise God.
Yes.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. So fun.
Amen. You go forward. Go forward with what you've gotten tonight, because the Lord definitely has deposited great things in your spirit tonight. Praise God.
Wow.
Tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
I thank God for Prophet Matthews. My. He's blessed so many people. And it doesn't even yet appear what God's going to do with you, for you, through you, and in you, Prophet. Amen. God is really, it's just like you're just starting out because you're being blessed in a new way, in a new way. And even when the Lord showed me the last time I came on and told you, it's going to come to pass, praise God, and you're going to see a great new year in 2022, praise God. Amen. We're looking to see, amen, for you. And the people of God, last night I was sleeping, and God woke me up and said, I have a word you're supposed to give my people. And the holy prophecy is that the new year of 2022 is going to be a blessed year for the saints of God. Many miracles, many miracles. Don't look about what's going on around you. Oh, my. But get in on what God has for you in this new year, saints of God. Ooh, tied out of my high, y'all. Glory to God.
I love that.
Man, so I'm excited tonight, and I thank God. I'm looking forward to coming on the conference line on December 6th when you have me to pray for the people. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm believing God. I even invited some people I know to tune in and get in on it, so I believe they'll be there. But that's going to be a great day, and we're looking forward to being on the prophetic experience on that December 6th, Monday night. Praise God.
Yes, sir. And we're looking forward to having you, Bishop, with us from Pennsylvania. We're looking forward to having you to be with us on the first Monday night in December. We'll be coming. We'll be sharing, prophesying, and flowing in the ministry gifts. So we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to what God has for us to you.
Man, back from a great revival that I had with Reverend Paul Allen, Reverend A.A. Allen's son. And Reverend A.A. Allen was such a great man of God that he lived through the 50s and 60s and had the big tent revivals. And Reverend Schambach came from that ministry. And I thank God that I have that association with his son, with Reverend Allen's son. And we had great revivals together in West Virginia. And praise God, we'll be doing more in the new year. But he said, I know that you got your own. So he said, when you're free, you can come with me. And he said, but keep doing what you're doing, he said. And I said, well, I thank God. I said, you keep doing what you're doing. And I've been telling all the ministers that are obeying God and all God's people that are obeying God, keep doing what you're doing. You know, because I can see the ones that are obeying God are the ones that make the difference. And God gets the glory, and they are going to be blessed. Glory to God. Amen. So thank you for this time, and I appreciate you allowing me to come up and share a little bit. God bless you.
Amen.
I love you.
Love you, too. I call Bishop Maggio, the R.W. Shambach of our time. Bless you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. I got a chance to meet Reverend Parsley, Rod Parsley, and he had told me the same thing. He said, I hear the Shambach A.A. Allen anointing. I said, oh, here we go again. Praise God. Everywhere I go, they tell me. But I thank God when Reverend Shambach gave me that holy prophecy when I was 16 years old, and I'm 64 now. But when I was 16, the Lord used him. And he said that you're going to be a lot like Reverend A.A. Allen and a lot like me. And I said, oh, okay. Well, praise God. So here we go. So, all right. Well, you have a blessed night, everybody. I'm praying for all of you. And thank God for you, Prophet Matthews. And we will definitely be on December 6th ministering to the people. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Amen. Bless you too, sir. All right. Thank you. Anyone else tonight? All right. Well, saints of God, it's been an awesome, phenomenal time. It's the top of the hour. Blessing the Lord for you all tonight for joining us. Trying to give God praise, glory, honor for Dr. Beverly and Dr. Lyman. Thank God for Pastor Simmons, thank God for Dr. Wilkes, thank God for Elder Hunter, thank God for Pastor Select, thank God for Administrator Bryant. Any final words, Administrator, any final words from anybody on tonight?
God bless you, Prophet. Just a quick reminder that Dr. Matthews is on his way this Sunday at 4 o'clock to Better Way Ministries International with Apostle Leroy Shanks this coming Sunday at 4 o'clock. If you desire for Dr. Matthews to be a guest speaker at your conference, your prophetic summit, your revival, he's also a licensed Christian counselor. Please give us a call at 877-912-2027 or 708-825-1988. Or you can email us at lauronmatthewsministries@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you so much, Brian. Any final words from our panel? Okay. If you want to say something, God, I've been able
to. If I don't want to say anything, I do want to say something, but I don't know how to say it. Women and men of God, obey your leaders. Do not disrespect them. Do not come against them. When you come against your leaders, you cause a curse upon you. Never, ever try to break down the man or the woman of God that God has allowed to minister to you and pour into you. Curses will come. You don't have to take it. You don't have to believe it. But I promise you, when you touch the anointing, the prophet, the man that God has placed over your life, it causes you more danger than anything you could ever imagine. That's what I kept hearing in the spirit. So I want to release it because sometimes they get out of work, like you were saying. They don't treasure us. They don't know who we are. So God will begin to move those people that don't treasure you and give you the ones that will love, honor, and respect your anointing.
Amen.
They have to respect your anointing because you are a powerful man of God. God did not give you just foolishness. So when God gives you a word, they have to accept it and respect it. Those people that are out of order and out of line, God is going to move them from around you and give you people that will trust you, that will honor you, that will know your anointing came to lead them, to guide them, and to put them into a position where they would know their destiny. Some people need to know their destiny instead of trying to lead you. They should learn how to follow, and that's what God wants in your ministry. Amen.
Woman of God.
I
need you to send me your cash app right now.
Amen.
Flesh and blood did not reveal anything you said to me today. Deal that. Do you hear me?
I cut it off.
Flesh and blood did not reveal what you just shared with me tonight. This had to come
Amen.
From the throne room of God at this time in the evening, at this time of night. So I receive the word of the Lord God.
Amen.
I receive the word of the Lord God. And I'll say it again. Flesh and blood did not reveal to you what you just shared with me. Because I didn't say nothing. And you just said you were not going to say anything. But you just went into a kairos of God.
Mm-hmm.
And Apostle Simmons know what I'm talking about. Anybody
Amen.
Else? No. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you.
They should not come against you. I don't want to see them in a few days or in a few weeks because the word of God stand on what it says. Touch not my anointing and do my promise.
Yeah. Amen.
One thing you are anointed and you are a prophet of God. Fasting as much as you fast and pray, They still don't understand they're leeches, so they come to see what they can draw off of you or draw from you. They don't come to be a blessing. They come to see what they can get. And then when you put them in correction, they become angry. So now they want to fight you in the spirit, but they're not qualified to, for God has angels guarding you and protecting you in your My cousin don't fight, but I'll fight.
Me too.
Wow.
I shouldn't say that like that, but I tell like being comfortable being, but yes, they better leave you alone. I heard God say that, and I started not to say it, but I had to come back and say what God is saying. In this season, this is a season of restoration, but it's also a season of you reaping what you sow. So many people want to be in a place of leadership, but they don't know their leadership ability comes in accountability with the way they treated their leader. If they did not treat their leader properly, the blessings of God will not be upon them. So there's no need in them walking around saying they're prophets, they're apostles, they're pastors, they're teachers, they're this, they're that, bishops and archbishops, and I'm greater than the next person. They have to learn first to sit and be taught and come humbly before the throne of grace and before the man and the woman of God. I promise you, God will not withhold anything from you. And that is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Wow. All I can say is wow.
And also, Prophet, I see things too. I just haven't said anything yet. I just pray.
Amen. We bless the Lord. We honor the Lord tonight. Thank you, Bishop Nagio, for what you released. He'll be with us on the first Monday in December. Bless you, dear, be with us. Thank you. Dr. Beverly Lyman, thank you for that. Dr. Simmons, bless you. I tell you, I ain't got words to say. I'm just thanking God tonight.
Amen.
Apostle Hunter. But Elder Hunter, you just don't have to say nothing. So you put it in God's hands.
Yes, sir.
I didn't have to do anything.
What happened?
Put it in God's hands.
Woo!
Oh, wow.
And that one, I put it in God's hands.
Crazy.
It's already
done. Yeah, I was talking to Evangelist. Evangelist Wilkes, did you want to say something, woman of God? Wow. Okay, sister. Prophetess Elect Rice, did you want to say something? Final word? I'm just sitting here at awe of God right now.
I'm just honored to be able to serve tonight and to be among great, great men and women of God. It's just an honor. Aww. And thank you, Prophet, for the opportunity. And I pray that they take heed to what the woman released, because that's a true word.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you. President-elect Tina Rice in San Antonio, Texas. God bless you and tonight. Elder Hunter, you have any final words?
All I can say, Pastor, I'm at the opportunity to sit on this panel among the mighty men and women of God. As much as they've given out, I've sucked in from them. And I bless you, Pastor. That's all I can. I'm at a loss for words.
So what I dealt with today, I promise you that.
Mm-hmm. What you say, something happened to you today?
Yes.
Wow. You know, I haven't talked to you. And I was laying here and I was asleep. And the dean came through, and I waited. I kept sleeping, and the spirit woke me up and said, come on your line.
Wow. We bless the Lord for you on tonight. I could say you heard from the Lord.